I'm standing in Fulton County. They are tabulating the absentee ballots of Fulton County, Georgia's most populous county. A water pipe has broken inside the arena.
We've got the right to choose it. There ain't no way we'll lose it. This is our life. This is our song. We'll fight the powers that be just. Don't pick our destiny, cause you don't know us. You don't belong.
Our patience is wearing thin. This is not about freedom.
We're not gonna take it. No, we ain't gonna take it.
It's 2:30.
See some price increases. Some folks are crazy.
Oh, you're so condescending. Your goal is never ending. We don't want nothing, not a thing from you.
If we'd been better mind readers, I guess we could have.
Your life is tried and jaded.
Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear.
I, Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear.
That I will faithfully execute.
That I will faithfully execute.
The office of President of the United States.
The office of President of the United States.
And will, to the best of my ability.
And will, to the best of my ability.
Preserve, protect, and defend.
Preserve, protect, and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations, Mr. President.
I don't care about the revenge thing. I know they usually use the word revenge. Will there be revenge? My revenge will be successful.
And that amazing compilation was done by D. Gray, Texas 45, also known as the Clip Keeper. So I want to give a shout out to him. One of the guys, one of the quotes was, "Yeah, they'll be fine. Nothing ever happens to Democrats." And Clip Keeper says, "Never, never." We'll be right back.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss. Was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. All that stopped. with the CMOS because it's a thyroid issue, and the CMOS has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formulas. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Rob Duke. Watch it live right now at band.video.
We're just having some really serious discussions during the break of Dee Snider, and if that was actually him singing it, that song that we had played the compilation to that Clip Keeper put together. I saw that yesterday. I'm like, I'm opening the show with this. Thank you for joining me. I'm Rob Duke. I'm your host today on The American Journal. We got some big breaking news that just broke. It's on Drudge. Guys, pull up the Drudge headline and we can just read what they're saying. Don Lemon, feds arrest Don Lemon. And, this is going to be very interesting how they treat this. Cause you can almost see there's, federal agents arrest Don Lemon over Minnesota church protest. And there's a certain act that the feds are probably going to feel like he's violating. And that's the freedom of people to go and have religious ceremonies and not be interrupted by screaming, whining, hissy fit, throwing babies. I want to go to this video though. This is the video that I think is going to either, it set the stage. And I want everybody to watch it. I'm going to really sit and listen and watch what this is. Don Lemon with the protesters right before they enter. He interviews a black lady and she kind of explains what they're going to do and how they're going to, why they're protesting, all sorts of stuff. And we have another church protest. I'll get to that in a second. But this is the breaking news of Don Lemon has been arrested by the feds. But we've seen the others. I think they arrested three other people, including the angry veteran, the tall, skinny, angry veteran. And they've all been, you know, released on bail. We'll see what happens if any of these charges stick. But Don Lemon's arrested. This is the interview right before it happened. And then, you know, maybe sprinkle through as we talk about this, the stuff inside the church. But let's go to this video first.
How are you?
Good.
Good to see you. We're on. We're not saying what it is, what's going on, but thank you. Tell us why you're doing this.
So
this is Nakima Levy Armstrong. She's on the show
Nakima
on Friday.
Nakima Levy Armstrong, civil rights attorney, longtime activist here in the community. And, you know, we protest and do activism in all kinds of ways. This is Operation Pull Up, more of a clandestine operation. We show up somewhere that is a key location. They don't expect us to come there. And then we disrupt business as usual. So that's what we're about to go do right now. We've had a lot of success with the times we have done Operation Pull Up.
Yeah.
After George Floyd was killed, we went to the Police Federation head's home and staged a demonstration there. We also went to the head of the U.S. Marshals from Minnesota after Winston Smith was killed by the U.S. Marshals. We went there after Dante Wright was killed when A.G. Keith Ellison refused to take the case. And we forced the prosecutor who lived in Stillwater to take the case by showing up there four times. So this is our next action to call for justice for Renee Good and ICE out of Minnesota.
But you get results.
Yes, we get results.
And with Dante Wright, you got results.
We got results because the AG's office was forced to take the case, and they successfully prosecuted the cop who killed Dante Wright. The U.S. Marshal got uprooted from her position from Minnesota. And then this was the start of weakening the leadership of the head of the Police Federation, Bob Kroll, who later we filed a lawsuit against, and he cannot be a law enforcement agency in Hennepin County, Anoka, or Ramsey for 10 years. So we've had success every single time.
How long do you think before this operation would, before it takes place?
We got to go now and get there.
Let's go.
All right. Thank you.
We'll see you there. Thank you.
So there's the, we get the operation name. They gave out an operation name that they run when they do this. And here's Don Lamont recording everything, with high quality cameras, almost like he's gathering evidence for the feds, you could say. Just, he's getting it all, interviewing people. He interviews the lady before it happens, which shows it's not spontaneous. It's got pre-planning to it. So, and I heard this theory. I'm going to tell you where I heard this theory on the No Agenda podcast. I caught an episode the other day. They were talking about this specific incident and they said, why hasn't Don Lemon been arrested? They're talking back and forth, the two co-hosts. And one of them surmised that Don Lemon was a confidential informant for the FBI, which would sort of make sense that Don Lemon's now working for the feds because he loses his CNN job. He's looking for a job somewhere and he goes to the federal government and they're like, look, you just go out and do your thing. You go out and get these people talking and then we're going to come get them later. And Don's like, look, man, I'm a shill for whoever. I'll do whatever it takes. So he interviews the ringleader of that protest right before she goes in. Then he goes in and gets all this other footage and people are like, why isn't Don Lemon being arrested? And Don's probably going, yeah, why aren't y'all arresting me? I got to keep my street cred. If y'all don't arrest me, then it looks like I'm an agent. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of charges they put against Don Lemon. And if he is working for the feds, that'll be interesting if it comes out or not. But that is the word on the street is he may be a fed. He may be setting these people up. So be careful when you talk to Don Lemon and tell him your plans of the universe, because he may have somebody else on speed dial. But there it is. Former CNN host Don Lemon arrested after anti-ICE protests at Minnesota church. So what we want to do is look for what kind of charges they level against him and what ultimately happens. Is there any punishment? Does he get parole? Is it deferred adjudication? You know, does anything stick? Maybe he'll get 6 months in prison somewhere. I doubt it. I seriously doubt they're going to do anything to Don Lemon. There he is with the angry veteran. Who also seems to be like a really well-paid agitator. You know, he's in D.C., then he's in Minnesota. He's kind of anywhere where the action is. He's got a good set of pipes on him, a really good communicator at screaming out his message. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Now let's go to, let me see what, now protesters crashed a second Minnesota church service. This is clip six. Let's just see, since we were just talking about this, let's just see what happened this time when they bump in and want to chant F ICE and all that. It's clip six. Here it is. Didn't look as crazy as the last one. This seems to be organized and very peaceful, and we're just going to come in with our signs and our broken hearts. And so they've definitely learned from their past mistakes, and you can't deny that. But let's go back to the Clipkeeper montage, Clipkeeper, over on X. He put together that great montage we played in the first five. And to me, what this struck was watching the evidence, or at least the evidence gathering unfold and people's reaction to it yesterday all over the web of what's going on in Fulton County and Tulsi Gabbard being on the ground in Fulton County. This is what CNN had to say about what happened in Fulton County and why Tulsi Gabbard was there and that she has no legitimate reason to be there because, you know, they get to decide what the feds do now because, you know, they're run by the CIA essentially. So the CIA News Network is telling people, oh, there's no reason for Tulsi Gabbard to be there. Well, maybe she's there to make sure it's done right by the book and make sure everybody's following the correct orders and there's no chicanery because they're trying to watch certain agents, see what's going on. that's all speculation, of course. But let's hear what CNN has to say.
One of the oddest moments about this raid, and there are many, as John was just laying out the history here, is the Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, was on the ground. Why would she need to be there?
Well, Phil, that is just one of the many questions we have without answers right now. But in short, she has no reason to be there. If you look at the Homeland Security Act of 2002, which created the position of the Director of National Intelligence in the way that we now know it, the DNI, as we call them, has no operational role, not in intelligence and certainly not in domestic law enforcement. So there is no legitimate reason why Tulsi Gabbard should have been there. Would she have seen any intelligence if produced from this search? Eventually, certainly, but she has no role in executing a search warrant.
And that was former Deputy Director Andrew McCabe, who was involved in trying to oust Trump out of office. So, you know, of course, he doesn't want anybody looking into the 2020 election. You know, nobody wants that. But, you know, breaking Tulsi Gabbard, the FBI raided Fulton County, Georgia election office and warehouse where ballots for the 2020 election are being stored. The FBI was searching through computers and Tulsi Gabbard was overseeing the entire operation on the ground. To have DNI personally in charge and on site is huge. She will have a direct line to the president regarding whatever evidence they uncover. Also, she doesn't mess around. That's right. You can find videos of Tulsi Gabbard like doing shooting training. So she is not one to mess around in this stuff. And but let's go to Senator Mark Warner, who is also crying about this. He doesn't like the fact that the head of national intelligence, the director of all the intelligence agencies, why would she be there? They can't figure that out. And it's interesting. This comes after the Maduro extraction just about a few weeks ago. And that happened in December. So now we've got Maduro, who's got ties to the voting machine companies that are run out of Venezuela. Now we've got the FBI and the DNI director in Fulton County grabbing the ballots to look at them. And what they're going to find, I believe, is they're going to find ballots, mail-in ballots. They're going to find all kind of ballots that aren't, that have no correct postmark. They're going to look like copies, or they're going to have signatures that don't match the original signature of the person that they're claiming to be. And are they going to find not enough ballots? Because sometimes what they were doing, and I was told this by somebody who ran these machines, that you run the ballots through, you get 100 ballots and you're running and you get through like 80, and then the machine has an error. Instead of zeroing out the machine, they just grab the ballots and run them through again. And so you're counting the ballots twice. And the machine doesn't see it because the machines, you're supposed to zero it out, but they don't do that. And there's a lot of points of contention on that, the way those voting machines work. I think we got to get rid of them. And my prediction is that you're going to have Democrats saying we need voting machines, even though we played a compilation yesterday on the Alex Jones Show where they're saying these things are bad. They're ripe with fraud, that people can break into them. We have to stop these voting machines when it went against what they were doing, their results of the election. But now, oh, they're going to be, it's going to be like Ukraine war. It's going to be like transgender surgeries for little kids. Anything that their top puts out, any talking point, they're going to be following it. So let's go to, I believe this is clip two we're going to go to right now. It's a little longer, but this is coming from Don Keith. And he's just talking about how the evidence was presented to the judges, and they had to actually go back and redo their warrant to get all this done. So they did it the right way, which means they can't come back later and go, oh, you used the wrong evidence or you used the wrong procedure to get this warrant and stop everything and try to discard this. Cause that's what they're trying to do. They're looking for every legal loophole to stop this. But I thought this election was the most safe and secure of all time. To infinity and beyond, this was the safest election. So why would they care if they got a hold of the ballots? Because they're worried, oh, he's going to steal the midterms. Maybe they know something that Don knows, or the Don Rowe. So we'll see. Here's Don Keith.
So the big news today was the FBI raid on the Fulton County, Georgia election hub to recover ballots and other evidence related to the potentially fraudulent 2020 election. And while the Democrats are out there trying to convince everyone that this is some Republican attempt to overthrow our democracy and instill fear in voters, let me remind you that the FBI was required to meet an extremely high bar to get a judge to sign off on it. Here's what occurred today. FBI agents executed a federal search warrant at the Fulton County Election Hub and Operations Center in Union City, Georgia. They seized physical ballots from the 2020 general election, tabulator tapes from voting machines, electronic ballot images, 2020 voter rolls, and other related records. And the agents were there for hours. They were removing boxes of materials as part of an active criminal investigation. But why? The warrant targets potential violations of federal election laws under the 52 U.S. Code Section 20701, which requires preservation of federal election records for 22 months, and Section 2511, which criminalizes knowingly procuring, casting, or tabulating false or fraudulent ballots or intimidating voters. The warrant states that these materials constitute evidence of criminal offenses or were used in committing them, limited to actions after October 12, 2020. But let's focus on the evidentiary high bar here. This is crucial. The Fourth Amendment protects against unreasonable searches. The FBI cannot raid anywhere on a whim. They must present a detailed sworn affidavit to a neutral federal magistrate judge establishing probable cause, specific facts, not rumors or speculation, that one, a federal crime was likely committed, and evidence of that crime will be found at this exact location. The judge reviews it independently, no rubber stamp. They ensure the warrant is particular, describing precisely the place and items to be seized to prevent any sort of fishing expeditions. Now, in this case, U.S. Magistrate Judge Catherine Salinas, she signed off after reviewing the sealed affidavit for a comprehensive evidentiary sweep, meaning the DOJ and FBI had to meet an even more rigorous standard with this compelling evidence. This high bar exists to protect constitutional rights, even in politically charged cases. If Democrats call this an overthrow of democracy, they're ignoring that a federal judge, not partisans, authorized it based on evidence. Rule of law demands we follow evidence, preserve records, and ensure fair elections. No one is above scrutiny here, including these election officials and including every single stinking Democrat that may have participated in an effort to defraud the American people. You know, to me, it's they who tried to overthrow our republic, not President Trump, not the FBI, and certainly not Republicans.
And we're going to see a lot more come out on this. We had Tulsi Gabbard also she's behind the scenes everywhere. She released documents that prove it was Barack Obama who led the Russiagate conspiracy and coup against Donald Trump. Documents have been turned over to the DOJ. Director of National Intelligence released a bombshell report, and this is dated January 30th. With new and damning evidence on Wednesday, she shared with the White House reporters in a daily briefing. The documents reveal it was Barack Obama and the FBI and CIA leadership at the time to sabotage President Trump before he even stepped into office. Obama did this knowing the entire story was manufactured and not a word of it was true. And how many countless hours were spent on Russia, Russia, Russia with those talking heads? And The View and every pundit in the world, everybody on social media. Oh, Trump's working with Russia. Russia. He's Putin's puppet. This and that. The four key elements in the reports about the fake Russian collusion that formed the basis of the Russia hoax. That Vladimir Putin wanted Donald Trump to win 2016. That Putin took action to help Donald Trump win in 2016. That Russia had blackmail evidence against Trump, which was the PP Gate Steele dossier. And that Russia tried to collude with the Trump campaign. This was all a lie and they knew it. There was no reliable information to back up their allegations. During her press conference, with White House reporters, Tulsi Gabbard said she had already turned this information on Obama over to the Department of Justice. And one of the reporters said, "Do you believe this new information implicates President Obama in criminal behavior?" And she goes, "We have referred and will continue to refer all these documents to the Department of Justice and the FBI to investigate the criminal implications of this." And she says, "For even President Obama," she follows up, "Mrs. Emily Jahinsky, the evidence we have found and released directly point to President Obama leading the manufacturing of the intelligence assessments. There are multiple pieces of evidence and intelligence that confirm this fact. Now that the DOJ have this information, I like this. This is from Jim Hoff. Let's see if Pam Bondi has the guts to charge Barack Obama for leading this attempted coup against the Trump administration. Don't hold your breath. And I agree. I don't think they're going to put Obama in chains on this. But we might get a few others. We might get Brennan. We might get Clapper. Comey seems to have dodged a bullet already with, you know, kind of a shaky indictment. So we'll see where that all goes. Very interesting. Did I play Mark Warner yet crying over this? I don't even know if I played this yet. Let's go to Mark Warner. This is, Senator Mark Warner crying over Tulsi Gabbard looking into the voter fraud. This is a good end cap to this whole piece here.
Reinforced to all of your listeners and viewers is that Tulsi Gabbard over this last year has literally taken apart what was called the Foreign Malign Influence Center, the center inside the intelligence community that was supposed to look at potential voter interference. Because again, she's still been an election denier. She is a sycophant to Donald Trump. You know, the speculation, at least up here on the Hill, is that, you know, she's done such a dreadful job that she's been excluded from most of the national security activities of the last couple months. She's never been up here to brief, you know, on Venezuela, Iran, or Greenland, you name it. And maybe this is some feeble attempt to get back in the good graces of her boss, Donald Trump, and to feed into his obsession about losing the 2020 election. That is at least some of the speculation up here.
Now, why wouldn't Tulsi Gabbard be... briefing these Demtards on what President Trump's operations are going to be, because they're going to leak it to their people. That's why. That's why, Senator Warner, that's why you're being kept in the dark. What do they say? You're a mushroom. You're kept in the dark and fed S-H-I-T. Yeah, because we know you people leak. So why would we do this? All right, we got a great show coming up. I'm going to get into Ilhan Omar and the attack that happened. And, you know, Grok actually... made a discovery I think we found a script to this whole thing, and it lines up almost perfectly with what happened in the events just a few days ago with her apple cider vinegar attack. But before we go to break, I do want to remind people, the reason we are here is because your support. When you go to the alexjonesstore.com, we have an amazing sale right now with pretty much almost every knife that we've produced in the last couple years. We have a sale on some of the daggers, those trench knife daggers, and also some of the folding pocket knives. You could check some of that out here. This is our new line of daggers right here. These have like the darkened steel. I think we have one that's sort of a lighter gray to steel, but you have three colors to choose from. The Border Patrol green, you have the black on black, and then you have a black with a, there's the one black that's got more of a stainless steel looking blade. But the signature knife collection, we also have some of our older knives for sale that we did, including this, the ring knife that looks really cool. You would use it, you would stick your finger in the ring part of it. It was a big seller. It was really hot last time we sold it. It sold out within like hours last time we put it up. And, those are on sale. There's an orange handled knife that's like sort of like a safety color. There's the ring blade right there. So you could stick your, it's a way to keep the knife from being pulled out of your hand, as you're cutting something. Or, you know, defending yourself, whatnot. But those are all available. Go to thealexjonesstore.com. Check out the knife collection. Get one of those trench knife daggers. They're on sale now. I think the lowest prices they've ever been. So check all that out. It supports everything we do. We'll be right back with going into Ilhan Omar and her chicanery and what went down over with the apple cider vinegar attack. Stay tuned. You're watching The American Journal.
I have told the folks at Bigley, I said, I want to have the widest selection of combat daggers, trench knives, folding knives, you name it. They're high-quality brands that you buy in bulk that are very competitively priced. And then support the broadcast, because I love knives. I know you love knives. They have finally gotten a whole bunch of the knives that were sold out back in. And they've gotten a bunch of new, really nice flip knives that I went out and told them what brands I liked, what was going on, and they were able to get it. And so a bunch of the knives that sold out a few months ago, they're back in. And then these bad boys right here. I mean, these are absolutely amazing. Flip really easy and locks for you. This is Forest Green, murdered out. It's got my little signature on it, so it's a little piece of history. This is a great knife. This knife sells in stores for $75 all day long. We're selling it for 40-something and even bigger discounts, up to 50% off right now. Some of these knives are as low as $20 a piece. It's a great memento. It's a great gift for your friends and family, and it funds the operation. Go there now. We've got also the Murdered Out Black, and I love how it's that kydex, and it's got that real fine engraving on it, so it gives you that great feeling, that great, because I got sent hundreds of knives from dozens of companies, and I'm the one that chose all these. And these are from really good companies, really good quality, and it's just a great deal. And so do your knife shopping at thealexjonesstore.com. But let me tell you what's back in stock. We have the new ones, Alex Jones Blackout Folding Knife, 7.65 assisted opening folding knife, 3.5 high carbon Damascus blade, 1095 plus 515N20. This is all quality. D2 steel, black PVD coating, and stonewash finish, 3.3 millimeter black thickness, black G10 handle for a secure grip, 15.5 millimeter handle thickness for confident hand feel, ball bearing pivot system for smooth deployment. I mean, it's a nice quality knife. All black, blackout finished. I call it Murdered Out. Fast, decisive, assisting, operating, limited production, live before it sells out. And then we've got the same knife, but it's silver blade folding knife. If you like that, it's got a nice little hook on the end so you can tie it to things. The forest green folding knife that is my close second, really a sexy knife. Same as the other one, it's just got that forest green. Call it forest, it's kind of like an in-between forest and olive. It's nice, kind of Border Patrol. I call it Border Patrol green. Let's change the name, Border Patrol green. That's actually what it is. This bad boy. These all sold out, but they always hold back a few hundred in case orders come in later or whatever. So tip of the spear, Spartan, trench knife with brass knuckles, Murdered Out, and the Skull Crusher, a few hundred of those. They held back a few of these. It had sold out, but there's about 200 left. The Goliath Fire with this beauty limited edition. That funds the operation as well. It's a little different. The Skull Crusher isn't as big. Alex Jones Phantom Folding Knife. This has been sold out. They only got 500 of these the first run, sold out in one day. It is back. They got 1,000 of them. And it's just a great knife. Really sleek, but really strong, very well made. And you've got it in orange, Alex Jones Burnt Orange Folding Knife. I like that. Now we've got the Alex Jones Ring Blade. This sold out the quickest last time. That's an amazing product. And they're up to 50% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And while you're there, get some ultramethylene blue and take advantage of the very best supplements in the world. We'll be right back. Thanks for funding the Second American Revolution worldwide.
Tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Rob Duke. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Everyone to the American Journal. Second half of the first hour is upon us, and I want to get into Ilhan Omar because we've got some new evidence, some new information. Anthony Kaczynski has, or Kazimierzak, I don't even know how you say this guy's name, Anthony Kazimierzak. A guy who's been photographed, at least he put online pictures of him with his transgender children. Well, there's also pictures of him with Ilhan Omar that have been discovered as they're in a embrace. So, you know, things aren't looking good. And now the feds have gone in and charged him with intimidation, among other charges. Let's see, the charge: forcibly assaulting, opposing, impeding, and intimidating a federal official. Yeah, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to go squirt things on people. And especially if it's a Democrat. I mean, we have to go after him. So Brianna Morello put that out last night. But I want to look at a few things. One, I asked Grok to take this. I sent her this video. In fact, play clip 20 without any audio. Just we'll show it. I asked Grok to analyze this and say, hey, what would a script like this look like with all the interesting things in it? Just analyze what happens in the video. But we're just watching it without sound right now. There she is talking, getting all her points out. And then after the word impeach, she talks about Kristi Noem being impeached. She does a slight look and nod right there. You saw it, and boom, she gets squirted. And so here's kind of what Grok came up with. You know, fade in, interior, Minneapolis Town Hall day, packed community hall, folding chairs filled with constituents, reporters, and security detail. Tension in the air. At the podium, Representative Ilhan Omar, mid-40s, poised, wearing a bright hijab and blazer, speaks passionately into the microphone. The level of violence and federal overreach, lawlessness carried out in the name of immigration enforcement, it is unprecedented. U.S. citizens are being assaulted and detained. Minnesotans expect to carry their citizenship papers. People are dying in ICE custody. This administration has reduced any semblance of due process. Doors are being broken down without judicial warrants. Chemical irritants, pepper balls, flashbangs are being used without a second thought. DHS is thriving in secrecy. This is not the America we know. This is not the America we love. Every Minnesotan has the right to feel safe and welcome. Real justice and accountability starts with full, transparent investigation and legal action against ICE, followed by the abolishment of the agency, the abolishment of the agency. ICE cannot be reformed. It cannot be rehabilitated. We must abolish ICE for good. And DHS Secretary Kristi Noem must resign or face impeachment. Crowd erupts in applause and cheers. Ilhan pauses, scans the room, then gives a subtle nod toward Anthony Kay, 50s, intense in the front rows. Anthony Kay leaps to his feet, pulls a large syringe from his jacket, and charges forward, spraying a brown, foul-smelling liquid, in quotation marks, fake poo solution, directly at Omar. Anthony Kay shouting, "You are the one that needs to resign." Omar recoils, wiping her clothes before Anthony can do more. A burly security guard lunges, tackling him to the ground and pinning his arms. Security guard's line, "Not so fast, MAGAT." Omar furious charges towards the scuffle. Ilhan Omar, "No one sprays an unknown substance at Somali pirates." Chaos spreads through the crowd. Bystander one screaming, "She is a victim now." Bystander two, "What $5 million winery?" Security swarms. Someone yells for a napkin, and the room buzzes with shouts and confusion. Fade out. Now, this is not quite how it all played out, but it's pretty close. I don't remember the line from the security guard. Do you guys remember hearing that? I don't remember hearing that. "Not so fast, MAGAT." But let's actually play. We'll play the first part of that from that center shot, and then we're going to go to some other angles and look at them. Go ahead with clip 20.
Of the agency. ICE cannot be reformed. It cannot be rehabilitated. We must abolish ICE for good. And DHS Secretary Kristi Noem must resign or face impeachment.
There she sprays him. There the security guard grabs him. She goes forward.
I don't know.
Oh my God, he sprayed something on her.
Yeah, somebody messed up their lines. I didn't hear anybody say anything about a $5 million winery. They got to go back and redo this, I think. I mean, this was a good dress rehearsal, people, but, you know, we really need to go back and really punch it up. We need somebody to say she's the victim now. It's very important that she becomes the victim in this. There he is being led out. Anthony Kay. I'm not even going to try to pronounce his Eastern European last name. Now, here's another. Watch. Now, go back that up again. Let's watch the cameraman and the lady in burgundy. I think that was her line, I think, to say that. No, go back to that other shot that we had. Go right there. See, she puts her hand up like she's giving the signal. She looks at him. The camera guy even pans over. Just keep repeating that. Watch the camera guy pan over like he knows something's happening. And he got it on camera. Good job, cameraman. Because there's another side shot, but the camera doesn't move. This guy actually moves over to get the shot. to make sure they could turn this into an event for her being a victim. There's the slight nod. The several people were giving this guy signals. There's a shot of him earlier in the day, a good close-up of him drinking water, of him earlier in this meeting, probably from the same camera guy. Very interesting how all this is playing out. And let's see if there's anything else. Oh, here, in fact, here's the picture under Sarah Sizzle posted. Told you it was staged, and she's got the shot with the camera guy we just watched here. But look at this. Look. Oh, there she is, old Anthony Kay. That's our buddy. Maybe he was doing that to gain her trust. Maybe Anthony Kay is a deep state operative. Or maybe he's a lone wolf attacking people with what? You think it's AI? Oh, they think it's AI. Did AI say it was AI? Is there a Grok question under there? Did anybody ask, Grok, is this real? I mean, are the pictures with him with the transgender kids AI? That would be interesting if it's all AI. Well, all I know is people didn't get their lines right. I mean, the script clearly says, it clearly says, let's see, let's go back to it. Anthony Kay, you're the one that needs to resign. The security guard's supposed to say, not so fast, maggot. And then Ilhan Omar's supposed to say, no one sprays an unknown substance at Somali pirates. And then the first bystander, she is a victim now. We have to get all this. I really think we needed a do-over. There's Anthony with his transgender children. There's some posts. I'm sure they'll say all that is AI as well. And that could be. This could be an AI picture. But I don't see too many MAGA people boasting about their transgender kids with blue hair. So there you go. Was this a full high school production? Oh, there he is getting the award. He's getting his, that's an Oscar. It's not even a Golden Globe. Wow. That's pretty impressive. Anthony Kay is the new actor of our generation. All right, let's go to this. And this is funny. Virginia voters were shocked as Democrats roll out tidal wave of new taxes. I think this is going to be clip 22. This is a local news report, News at 4, and just showing all the new taxes that happen. This is what happens when you vote a Demtard into office, especially a former CIA agent. She already knows how this stuff works. And so it's like, boom, we're going to get them with a lot more taxes because Virginia, it's got ports. It's got all these ways they can make money. They've got tourism. They've got all the people who live and work in D.C. paying property taxes and all that. But it's not enough, people. It's not enough. Virginia, you know, what I noticed about Virginia of all the times, they used to have a law where you couldn't even have a speed detector, a radar detector in your car. And they had detectors that could determine if you had a radar detector. So if you were driving through, you would get pulled over for having a radar detector, whether you were speeding or not. You would get a ticket for that. That's how crazy Virginia is. But it got crazier, and here's the clip.
Here's a list of the many tax increases and proposals Democrats in Virginia are considering passing. They include additional local sales tax in all Virginia counties and cities, new personal property tax on electric leaf blowers and electric landscaping equipment, large employer tax, gun and ammunition tax, new income tax brackets, a delivery tax. This would hit you if you make an order on Amazon, Uber Eats, or an order that includes UPS, FedEx delivery, etc. here in Northern Virginia. There's also a tax they're looking at for events, concerts, an investment income tax, storage facility tax, gym membership tax, dog walking tax, dog grooming tax, counseling tax, digital personal property tax, new car taxes and highway use fees, an increase in the hotel tax here in Arlington, statewide speed cameras. Now, these aren't taxes, but they would include more fines for some drivers, dry cleaning tax, home repair tax, and a vehicle repair tax.
They should really be listening to their constituents a lot more because these tax increases are going to hurt those who are struggling the most.
Republicans are blasting Virginia Democrats' tax proposals, asking what happened to all their talk about affordability.
They did campaign on affordability, and right now, right out of the gate, that's been the last thing that we've seen that's been the focus.
7 News is waiting for a response from Virginia Governor Abigail Spanberger and leadership in the state Senate and the House of Delegates on how this would make life more affordable for you. We'll put their responses on our homepage, WJLA.com. Reporting in Arlington, Nick Minox, 7 News.
Are we surprised? Are we surprised? I love that. Home repair tax, vehicle repair tax. It's like we got Bubba Gump shrimp over there. There's a dog walking tax, a dog grooming tax, a delivery tax, a home improvement tax. Wow, Bubba, that's a lot of taxes. A lot of taxes there, Bubba. But that's about it. Home sin tax, road use tax. We're going to increase the fines on speed camera tax. And that's about it. Wow, it sure is amazing what happens when you elect Democrats. What do? They raise taxes. And she didn't even do it with like, she didn't even do the study. We're going to study to see where we can increase our taxes. No. She just goes out, we already have these taxes ready. It's like when the Democrats got in power in 2020, in January 20th of 2020, they immediately went out and arrested people who walked through the velvet ropes. And they did it with the help of the credit card companies and the cell phone companies. And they had private groups seeking people out and trying to identify them. And it all happened as soon as they came in power. So I'm not telling you how to vote, but just remember that when it starts coming to the midterms. You know, I don't think the Republicans are doing that good of a job. I give them overall foreign policies much better than the domestic. They haven't quite turned the corner on the domestic policies yet. And we haven't seen any major arrests of these deep state figures. So they're still falling way behind on that. They get an F on that so far. But they aren't going around saying white people are the biggest problem in America. I will give them that. I haven't heard anybody say that yet. Maybe some rhinos. Maybe John Cornyn thinks white people are bad. I don't know. Maybe he should be replaced. I think he might get primaried. All right, let's turn our, we got about 10 minutes. Do I have time to get to all this? No, I think I'm going to move this stuff to later. We're going to go to clip 15 and 16. They're opening, and this is some UK immigrant news. They're opening a old military base and going to house migrants in there. We're going to go to clip 15 first, where Nick Ferrari's interviewing the home secretary. I'll get her name in a second. She's an Indian, of course, because that's who's basically taken over. All of politics in Britain are Indians. And he's asking her, why are you doing this at 3 in the morning? Her name is Shabana Mahmood. And he's asked, why are you bringing these fighting age males into town at 3:30 in the morning? And she's like, well, we don't want people to be upset. So here's the exchange. It's about 23 seconds.
Why was it deemed necessary that the first arrivals, 27 men last week, were brought in at 3:30 in the morning? Why was that?
We always start with small numbers whenever we are moving people.
It was under cover of darkness, wasn't it, Home Secretary?
It was just designed to make sure that, of course, that there wasn't a public order risk and also that we could move people safely and quickly. Whenever you move into any new part of an estate, you have to start small, and it is normal practice to do these things.
I have to make you aware of the strength of feeling.
When it's not busy.
There it is. So we just want to make sure it's not busy. And that is in the town of Crowborough. And now we're going to go. This is another short clip. They're having a meeting talking about it to, kind of sell the idea to the residents of Crowborough. And a man asks, how do you plan on meeting the sexual needs of 600 men? Because when you bring in these foreign age single fighting men with no families, what are they doing? Like most men of that age, they're looking for some play. So he's just asking a normal question. And, of course, the people in charge, just very dismissive. Here is that clip.
Next to him, and then Jack, can we come to the two ladies at the back? Sir, first.
Yeah. How do you plan to meet the sexual needs of 600 men?
Good question. Andrew, did you hear the question?
Yeah, I said I don't.
Okay. Gentleman in the black.
Well, yeah, he's not going to meet the needs. He's safe, probably away, far away from this army base. But that's what they want to do. They want to import people and just kind of turn them loose. And here's another interesting article. Italian reporting non-Italian criminals as Italians skews crime statistics. See, they don't want you to know how bad the crime is, so they want to hide it. This is out of Infowars.com. A 21-year-old leader of a juvenile gang in Italy, a notable example of how crime reporting in Italy and all of Europe is gravely distorted. That's like when we saw those pictures of black men being listed as white when they go to prison so they can mess with the statistics. Foreigners commit 2/3 of sexual offenses, 3/4 of homicides and robberies in Spain's Navarre region. Oh, it's probably more, though. They probably hide it. That's also on Infowars.com. Foreign nationals were responsible for nearly 2/3 of sexual offense arrests and more than 70% of homicides and robbery arrests in the Spanish region of Navarre over the past year, according to an internal report prepared by the Information Division of the Navarre Regional Police and assessed by El Español. It's a 23-page document. We have links to it on Infowars. I would say check out those articles and spread those articles around because that is how we wake people up. We show them, hey, they're not even reporting the crime statistics. Or if they are, they're really, really bad for migrants. And when we come back after break, I'm going to get into the war on ICE right now and the war on DHS, which I'm not a fan of any of these organizations. I'm just going to say it because they're big and bloated. And when they're not run right, you can see they aren't running their ICE operations right in Minnesota, which is why they're having so many problems. They should be doing it a lot differently. Notice you're not hearing anything about Florida and Texas. Behind California, they have the highest number of illegal aliens, but you don't hear about violence or anything because they're working with the state police. They're working with the sheriff's deputies. They're working with the local police departments. And those guys are cordoning off the areas so these raids can be done. And so, one, you don't need as many ICE agents to do this work in certain areas. You don't need to bring 30 or 40 in there to try and, you know, protect. And these guys, they probably haven't been trained very well in crowd control or how to go in there and cordon off an area. But the local PDs have done that. The local sheriff's departments have done that. And local state police's agencies have done this type of work before. But when you don't get that help, you know, when you go to Minnesota, you're not getting any of that help. You're getting nothing. Well, that's why you're seeing events like this. And so the people who run Minnesota very badly, by the way, unless you count robbery and fraud as being good, you're not getting much. So that's why you're having the problems in Minnesota. Minnesota's small. There's not even a ton of illegals there compared to the rest of the country. But you're having all these problems because that's where they've chosen to make their stand and run their operation, which is all being disclosed through the secret signal chats and with the elected officials being in on it. And this guy Pretty who got killed, he was in on it. All these people, they're in these groups and they've been told. In fact, I saw an article where was it? It was, I'll find it after the break. And it was, I'll find it after the break. It goes with this, and it was basically, it's from 2025, and it was how the Democrats are saying, you guys have to get in front and put your life on the line to protect these migrants. But here's a final story from the UK government. Illegal working raids reached their highest level in UK history. So they actually are doing some enforcement of illegal workers. So enforcement raids skyrocketed by 77% since the government came into power, leading to an 83% increase in arrests. Illegal working arrests and raids have reached their highest level in British history. The latest figures reveal the numbers have soared 77% in the UK since the government came into power, leading to an 83% rise. 17,400 raids were made to dodgy businesses such as nail bars, car washes, barbers, takeaway shops, targeting those attempting to undercut honest workers and who are hiding in plain sight. Now, as we end the break, I want to go to this clip. This is clip 14. This is Helen Andrews giving a speech about wokeness and how it is inherently feminist. And I think we'll have a little bit of time to come back from that. I'll give you my thoughts.
But if you want to put it in a single sentence, you could say that feminization equals wokeness. Everything you think of as wokeness is simply an epiphenomenon of demographic feminization. Think about all the things that wokeness means. Valuing empathy over rationality, safety over risk, conformity and cohesion over competition and hierarchy. All of these things are privileging the feminine over the masculine. So if you have ever wondered why wokeness appeared out of nowhere when it did, that is my hypothesis, that all of the institutions that began admitting women in the 1970s eventually got enough women that they were able to reorient them. For example, women are consistently less supportive of free speech than men in surveys asking which is more important, protecting free speech or preserving an inclusive society. Approximately two-thirds of men say free speech, and approximately two-thirds of women say inclusive society. In moral reasoning, the traditional way of phrasing the difference between men and women is to say that women have an ethics of caring and men have an ethics of justice. In making a moral judgment, men will ask, what are the rules and what are the facts? Women tend to be more interested in context and relationships.
Feelings.
So let's apply that to wokeness. When James Damore wrote his famous, or I should say notorious memo for Google, arguing that female underrepresentation in the hard sciences might not be the result of bias and prejudice, no one even attempted to argue that he was wrong on the facts. The reason that he was fired was because the things he had written might make his female coworkers feel bad. Or consider the Kavanaugh hearings. The masculine position was to say that maybe something bad happened to you, but if you do not have evidence, then we can't allow you to ruin a man's life and career over it. The feminine position was to say, how can you talk about rules of evidence? Can't you see she's crying? Now, to be clear, many women were revolted by the way the Kavanaugh hearings played out. In fact, the very best book on the Kavanaugh hearings was written by two women, Molly Hemingway and Carrie Severino. But a political system in which men predominate will tend to operate according to rules of facts and objectivity, and one in which women predominate will tend to operate by the rules of emotions and subjective facts. Even if there are individual men and women who fall on the opposite side of those camps.
Well, there you go. She definitely has a great voice, though, as a podcaster. I could listen to her talk all day about the crap going on in our world.
We sell the best supplements, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, and knives at theauctionstore.com. And they had some awesome daggers and awesome trench knives. That's all great. But I said, I want a wide selection of high quality folding knives, flip knives, you name it. So people have a one-stop shop. They got in a few thousand knives a few months ago. They sold out very quickly. Four or five great designs. They got a bigger shipment in just the last 2 days. Our sponsor, just really top flight knives. These knives, this knife right here you see in the green, highest quality Damascus steel, all of it. These sell in stores for $75 all day. We're selling for $40, 40 some bucks. Okay. So look at that flip. Flips right out. Got a nice little, you know, my signature on it, real small. Nice little memento. You support the broadcast. That is a really nice knife. It clips on to your belt buckles. We have it in the green. We have it in the murdered out black. We have it also in silver without it being blacked out. Those are great knives. Those are the new designs. Now, those 200 left of the Skull Crusher World War II trench knife with the Spartan tip of the spear. So they held those back. Those are available. A little bit left they held back in their overstock of the Fire with Its Beauty. But this is a really cool knife. Alex Jones Phantom Folding Knife. Limited stock of that came back in. Also, the Alex Jones Burnt Orange Folding Knife. And this is the knife that sold out the quickest of any knife. They got 500 of these. 1,000 now just came in. The first one sold out like in hours. Alex Jones Ring Blade. I guess those are popular. This is something I didn't really call for, but it's awesome. Got that ring on the back. Got the deal. It's really nice. Those are all back in stock right now at thealexjonesstore.com. But while you're at it, get methylene blue, Irish sea moss, and more. And check out the Patriot Apparel, thealexjonesstore.com.
are watching the call of the rare purple-haired booby as it calls out for a clue in the distance. The strange bird supervenes upon its territory, oblivious to the protector it disturbs with great commotion and abandonment.
This needs to stop. I'm a disabled veteran, nothing veteran. I've never been deployed or anything like that. But, you know, my values for joining the military and joining the army, like, this hurts to see. This hurts on such a crazy level to watch these wannabes do this. You know, they don't know what they're doing at all.
Unseen by the booby, yet perilously close, lies the object of its fervent search. A single tantalizing clue, perhaps a glint of something metallic half buried among the leaf litter far across the clearing. And now it calls. The bird throws back its head, the long slender neck arching in a gesture both graceful and absurd, reverberating off ancient tree trunks, carrying for hundreds of meters in search of an answer that does not come. Oblivious to all else, the booby leans forward, wings half unfurled in excitement, its vibrant crest of purple filaments quivering with each powerful expulsion of breath.
We have to show up with guns. We have to. There's no other way around it.
Their protector bird, whether they know it or not, is known as U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE. Created March 2003 as a direct response to the horrors of 9/11, forged in the fires of the Homeland Security Act that smashed 22 agencies into the new Department of Homeland Security. But its roots stretch back over two centuries to Alexander Hamilton's vision of collecting tariffs and guarding America's economic sovereignty in 1789, evolving through periods of immigration waves, border chaos, and criminal exploitation. Human trafficking rings, child exploitation networks, drug cartels, hundreds of thousands of criminal aliens, gang members like MS-13 and Tren de Aragua, and terrorist financing schemes, keeping our communities safer, our borders stronger, and our nation from being overrun by those who would exploit our laws and endanger American citizens.
ICE is here! ICE is here!
It stamps one webbed foot, then the other, sending tiny cascades of dew from the leaves below. Yet, in its exuberance, the bird has failed to notice the disturbance it creates.
We're asking people not to go to work, not to go to school, not spend a single penny. It is really important for us to have you all stand in solidarity with us. Our communities haven't been able to actually go to school.
To me, being Somali isn't just eating bananas with rice.
Well, what we're witnessing, and this is why the larger picture is important here, we're right on the edge cliff in terms of the possibility of America sustaining itself as a social experiment in the best sense of just becoming an empire full of might and force.
This is a cancer. White evangelical Christianity is a cancer. These are the worst of our country.
Shame on every Republican in the Senate who put this wildly unqualified person into a position of significance in the Department of Homeland Security so she could unleash brutalization on everyday Americans, American citizens, and law-abiding immigrant families. It's disgraceful. She's got to go. We are dead serious. She needs to be put on ICE permanently.
Yes, dismantle ICE, but also the Border Patrol, also the agency that looks over citizenship and asylum. All of it needs to be dismantled and rebuilt so people are not terrorized by their own governmental agency.
This isn't just about what's going on here right now. This is about this not going any further. It's not going to any other states. This is about this stopping. And people don't understand, you know, this needs to stop.
Secure borders and aggressive enforcement aren't just policy. They are crucial survival in an unpredictable republic.
Gentlemen, you know the power of turmeric, but have you felt it? Have you tried the ultimate turmeric gummies? The delicious way to harness the ancient power of golden turmeric, supercharged with ginger root and black pepper for maximum impact. Each gummy delivers 125 milligrams of premium turmeric extract packed with curcumin, the clinically studied compound shown to support healthy inflammation response, ease everyday aches, and promote joint comfort so you can move through life with ease. We added real ginger root, trusted for centuries to calm digestion and soothe the stomach, plus a precise dose of black pepper extract with pepperine, proven to boost curcumin absorption by up to 2,000%. That means more of the good stuff actually gets where your body needs it. No capsules, no bitter aftertaste, just one tasty tropical-flavored gummy a day, or two if you're feeling extra, to help you feel lighter, looser, and more energized. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, ancient wisdom meets modern science in the best-tasting form possible. Grab yours today and start feeling the ultimate difference in health. With Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, inflammation doesn't stand a chance. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Rob Dew. Watch live right now at band.video. Well, I thought my life
was over. Welcome back to The American Journal. As we get into the second hour, that was a great piece by John Bowen we watched in the first segment about the purple-headed boo-boo. But I have a crime even worse than the purple-headed boo-boo. It's sad. Oh, yeah, there's the dismantling ICE will destroy America. That's the report. But the Associated Press is reporting, the U.S. is not alone in grappling with diversity in winter sports. In Europe, immigration from Africa and the Middle East has rapidly changed the demographics of the top winter sports countries that won't be reflected in their rosters for the Milan Cortina Winter Olympics. And Kevin Deanna said, affirmative action in skiing now, huh? All journos are bastards. And here's my proposal. You guys remember the Jamaican bobsled team? I think it's time for the Somali bobsled team right here. And I already got the name of the movie. I'm ready. I'm ready for the marketing. Can we get a shot of this, please? Loot Runnings, baby. Here it is. The Somali bobsled team, coach Tim Walz, leads a young band of four Somalis on their quest for gold. They will steal the gold while they steal your hearts. It's right there, all in Loot Runnings. Guys, you think that's a winner? You think we can take that to Hollywood? Come on. I mean, they're already like the cold. They're already there. They can train in Minnesota. And the best part is, like, they steal all the Olympic funding for all the other athletes, and they're living a lavish lifestyle in a penthouse while everything's going down. Like, the Jamaican bobsled team, they barely made it. They had to train on, like, they had to make wheeled sleds and stuff. No, these guys, it's creme de la creme. They've sucked all the money dry, and all the other skiers and snowboarders and ice skaters, they're living in, like, the slums of the Olympic Village. I mean, I think this is a winner. You guys with me? Let's have Grok write it up. We're doing it. We're doing it. All right. We'll get to some more. We're going to get to some more funny stuff here. Bill O'Reilly and Chris Cuomo have a clash over the Minneapolis protests, but I'm trying to think of what clip I should play first of these. Let's just go to the breakdown between Bill O'Reilly and Chris Cuomo. This is fireworks. This is great. I love it. Let's go to it now. Clip seven.
Oh, no, no. Your causation that's not is absurd. Absurd. If you think that the protests in Minnesota are forced by some crazy guy named Singham who's forcing it with money, you haven't been watching what's happening. It's organic. Oh, okay, God. There are bad actors actors involved on the financing. Bad you don't actors. Think what's happening MAGA in Minnesota mission, is MAGA justified by peanut. What they see? Well, if Democrats, you when have, Democrats subpoenaed the Trump administration and Trump, you would say, oh, this is a real subpoena. This is good that this is how it works. No, you blame the Democrats the whole time. How is this any different? This is political payback. It's plain so and simple.
You have foreign money coming into yes. Minnesota to foster yeah, unrest good. Against the federal government.
Yes, no good.
And yeah, you're
it's
going,
no good, it's no good when they get it on college
plot?
Campuses. No,
oh, it's
I'm
now,
talking
it's
about MAGA with the subpoenas. Bill, you got to keep things straight, brother.
To do with this
you said
MAGA.
They're being subpoenaed. They're being subpoenaed because MAGA's going after its political opponents. The money coming in is a problem.
MAGA?
That's not about the subpoenas.
It's the federal government going after. The federal government is issuing the subpoenas, not MAGA. What's the matter with you?
Which?
You are so lost in your theoretical world.
So when the Democrats were going after... So when the Democrats were going after Trump, you said, well, this is the federal government. This is how it works. No. You said it was lawfare. You said it was political playback. And that it was baseless. And you were ruining the democracy.
Life.
You said all of it. You said it right here.
You're crazy.
You weren't wrong. And you weren't wrong. But now you want to pretend that this is legit. But when Democrats go after Trump, it's illegit. Come on, Trump. Come on. Bill, that's what it is.
It's ridiculous. All you're doing is pettifogging the actual story. And the actual story is an insurrection. It's an insurrection
it's
being
not
funded
an insurrection.
By China. Yes, it is.
Uh-oh. Looks like we lost connection.
The funding is a problem.
That's what it is.
Look, I don't disagree, but that doesn't make it.
We're actually going to go to another Bill O'Reilly clip. This is the next clip in the list, and he's talking about where the money's coming from in China. He's claiming it's a man named Neville Roy Singham who works for the Beijing government, but he lives in Shanghai, China. American citizen Neville Roy Singham, who's funneling millions of dollars into the United States through 501c3s like the Party for Socialism and Liberation, Democratic Socialists of America, Minnesota Immigration Rights Action Committee. So let's go to this clip. This is Bill O'Reilly talking about where the money's coming from that they were just bitching about with Chris Cuomo, who's saying, it doesn't exist. Nothing exists.
Here's the most important part of this whole thing. Unreported, okay? There is a man in Shanghai, China, an American citizen. His name is Neville Roy Singham. He works with the Beijing government. He is funneling millions of dollars into the United States of America through 501s like Party for Socialism and Liberation, Democratic Socialists of America, Minnesota Immigration Rights Action Committee. There he is, okay? Connecticut-born, 71 years old, billionaire tech guy. He is funneling money here to these radical organizations who are then agitating professional people, communists mostly, because Singham's a communist, all right, to go in and foster rebellion. You heard that story reported? That is absolutely true. The man has been investigated by the FBI in the past, this Singham character, okay? This isn't some organic thing. This is a foreign power, Beijing, using this American citizen who lives openly in Shanghai in luxury, knowing that this man is funneling tens of millions, probably more, into this country to try to destroy the government. What the deuce is that? Where are you, New York Times? All right? That's the second part of the story. There's a local federal story, and there's the international story. And I've had it. You don't like what I'm saying? Blank you, because I'm telling you the truth.
You know, when he does it live, he doesn't say blank you. But Bill O'Reilly is pissed. And, you know, with that money coming in, you get organizations training people. They have training videos. They have seminars. They're busing people here and there. And then this was July of last year. Democrats are being told to get shot for the anti-Trump resistance. And that's what's going on. How many have gotten shot so far? We got several shootings, actually. Not everybody's died, but two deaths. The grassroots once more. Some of them have suggested what we really need to be is willing to be shot when visiting ICE facilities or federal agencies, a third House Democrat told Axios. Our own base is telling us that we're not doing good enough, that we need to get blood to grab the attention of the press and the public. Well, they are doing that. So we got July. That was the seventh month, and, you know, 6 months later, boom, we have two deaths. Just like that. Amazing. So they're definitely doing it. And we've got politicians who are calling for the dismantling of ICE. Here's This is Governor of New Jersey, Mickey Sherrill. She's launching a portal to track and report ICE agents. So they're going to be doing the same thing in Minnesota that they're going to be doing the same thing in New Jersey that they're doing in Minnesota. So here she is talking about it. Oh, I don't know. Let's see what clip. Clip nine.
I've already met with AG. We are putting out information on helping New Jerseyans know their rights. We are not going to allow any ICE raids to be staged from state properties. And we are also going to be standing up a portal so people can upload all their cell phone videos and alert people. Like, if you see an ICE agent in the street, get your phone out.
Yes.
We want to know.
Yes.
Because
and the Democrats, they want to see more of their people killed.
They will not tell us if they're here legally. They won't check. They'll pick up American citizens. They picked up a five-year-old child. We want documentation, and we are going to make sure we get it.
Great.
Yeah, we want documentation. But you're not, you've already said you're not going to allow these ICE agents to work off state property. So you're already causing the same problem that you saw in Minnesota. So then look for New Jersey to be the next place where they have problems. And here's Democrat Alex Padilla. Not only does he want to defund immigration enforcement, but he's calling to defund the entirety of the DHS, the agency responsible for FEMA and the Coast Guard. Not a single dollar more. I mean, I think of all those organizations, the Coast Guard's probably the most important. FEMA doesn't really do much except take a bunch of money and tell people they can't help their neighbors. Although that may have changed. We'll see. We haven't had... You know, we're not seeing what we saw from the Biden administration where, hey, don't help white people or don't help Trump supporters in a disaster. We haven't seen that, like, don't help Biden supporters. Well, you can't tell what a Biden supporter is because, one, they don't really exist, and, two, they didn't put signs in their yards. But let's go to Alex. This is Alex Padilla.
Not a single dollar more while they're roaming the streets, coming out of unmarked cars, masks, not identifying themselves. No more funding for DHS, for ICE, for CBP, while they're detaining innocent children, while they're detaining and even assaulting Latinos for the color of our skin or because we occasionally speak Spanish. Other language minorities have been subject to this abuse as well.
So they're using the same trope. They're grabbing children. If children happen to be in the home, so if the cops raid a house and there are children in that house and they take away the adults, well, then they usually put the children in with Child Protective Services, CPS, which also is dubious because it's a government organization. Nevertheless, that is what is happening to these kids when the adults in the house get taken away for breaking immigration law. I was in New Orleans last weekend, and I was there. One of the friends that was with us actually works in the court system. I don't want to get too much into what he does, but what he was telling me is he goes, when we see people come in here, they've had papers since 2016 that they need to leave the country. And they're finally getting brought to fruition. Okay, so 2016, these people have had papers. They didn't just get here last year. Since 2016, they've gone through the system, and the system said, "Hey, you need to deport." And they're like, "No, I'm not going to do it." So you can't just sit there if you're going to have a nation of laws and you expect people to pay their income tax. You can't just keep giving millions of dollars to Somalis, millions of dollars to NGOs, billions of dollars to NGOs. You just can't keep giving away money, our money, and then going, "Oh, there's no money for this. We got to raise your taxes," when you're just wasting money on fraud, waste, and abuse. You have to do something. And even Arnold Schwarzenegger's not buying the ICE crap, though. This is the View host trying to get him to condemn the ICE raids, and not even the governor will buy the poison pill they're slipping. This is clip 12.
So, if you are an immigrant, you're an immigrant in this country.
Yeah.
Did you have a visceral reaction to what they're doing, what ICE is doing, when you see the videos of it?
Well, I tell you, you said that the immigrant, I'm so proud and happy that I was embraced.
My father was a Nazi.
By the American people like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, imagine they came over here with the age of 21, mm-hmm. with absolutely nothing. And then to create a career like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, in no other country in the world could you do that. Yeah. Every single thing, if it's my bodybuilding career, if it's my acting career, becoming governor, the beautiful family that I've created, all of this is because of America.
That's true.
And so this is why I'm so, so happy to see firsthand that this is the greatest country in the world, and this is the land of opportunity. And I think because I'm such a proud American and a proud immigrant that came to America, I was asked to do on July 4th a big speech, mm-hmm. the keynote speech at Mount Vernon, that George Washington.
Well, the Harpies are not happy with this
he
answer,
lived and
tell.
All that. To celebrate the 250th anniversary of America, the existence of America, and I will be doing the speech that they asked me because I'm an immigrant, and there will be 7,000 some people there, and there will be people that will be sworn in and will become citizens that day.
That's great.
So it's really a great, great celebration.
This is
what this is all about, is to celebrate people becoming Americans and coming to America and all that. And so, I just think the world of the great kind of a history that we have with immigrants in America. But the key thing also is at the same time that we got to do things legal. That is the important thing. You know,
what?
So you got to do things legal. And those people
Excuse
that are
me.
Doing illegal things in America, and they're the foreigners, they are not smart. Because when you come to America, you're a guest.
Oh.
And you have to behave like a guest.
Really?
Like when I go to someone's house, and I'm a guest, then I will do everything I can to keep things clean and to make my bed and to do everything that is the right thing to do rather than committing a crime or being abusive or something like that. So that doesn't really work in this country. So I think the important thing is when you become an immigrant to think about, okay, I go to America because I want to use America for the great opportunities that America has in education, in jobs, creating a family, all of those kind of things. Then you have to think about, okay, if I get all of those things from America, then I have to give something back. You have a responsibility as an immigrant to give back to America and to pay back to America and to go and do something for your community for no money whatsoever. Give something back to after-school programs, Special Olympics, or whatever it is. Make this country a better
place. Oh, like this? Is this what he's talking about? I don't think these people are being good guests. Do you? I don't think so. I actually agree with the governor on this. Like, you know, if you come here to our country, just be a good guest, make your bed. And if you come here and become a citizen, give back, because this is a country where there is more opportunity than almost anywhere else in the world. And that's all we're asking. We're not asking for a lot. We're not asking that you think the same, dress the same, talk the same. All we're asking is that you don't come here and be a leech. You don't come here and cause problems. You come here and you be a good citizen or a good neighbor or a good guest, whatever your position is. That's all. Very easy. It's not hard. Even the son of a Nazi understands what it is to be a good citizen. You can too. You're not even the son of a Nazi. There's no reason for you to be standing on burning cars and throwing rocks at police. There's no reason for it. Be a good citizen. Be a good neighbor. Be a good immigrant. That's all. That's all you have to do. It's very easy. Let's see. That was my spiel there. Hope you guys liked it. Oh, I love this behind me. This is great. let's go to... Tim Walz and Amy. So Tim Walz put out a tweet that said, I'm never going to run for office again. And you know, that's a setup, because what it seems is when Amy Klobuchar, she's going to run for governor, she's going to appoint Tim Walz as the senator. This is Liz Collins reporting, clip 13. Here it is.
Governor Walz, though, you'll notice, Jesse, careful to say that he will not run for public office again. However, Senator Amy Klobuchar could still appoint him to her Senate seat. Also interesting to note that Senator Klobuchar in her announcement did not mention President Trump today by name. She did say that she was going to root out fraud, but that's hard for many of us to believe. She's been a senator for nearly 20 years. She has been silent on the issue of Somali fraud in Minnesota.
Wait,
Jesse.
So Liz, are you saying there's a deal between Walz and Amy? She's going to appoint him to be a senator?
It is a possibility, and I thought the word choice in that interview last night was quite interesting. But here on the ground, I think police officers are feeling a bit relieved. I've been speaking to them through this whole process. You know, many of them couldn't do their jobs, especially in Minneapolis before, but Homan seems to have changed things here. We saw mass arrests in Minneapolis. That hasn't happened or been allowed to happen, I should say, in weeks. Instead, they're watching other agencies move in and do the job that they should be tasked to do. But again, kind of this manufactured crisis. I know you spoke about the fall of Minneapolis, which I appreciate, but so many of those same people in power, actually the exact same people, and we're seeing this all on repeat.
All right. So we can see the fraud is continuing. We're not going to have an election. I'm just going to appoint the senator, as Klobuchar thinks she's going to win governor of Minnesota. She's going up against Mike Lindell. That'd be interesting. Mike Lindell might hit the perfect storm here. And, here's a guy who went from crackhead to multimillionaire business owner with his own jet and then losing almost all of his fortune fighting for free and fair elections. And then he may become governor of Minnesota. I mean, we could see an amazing, turnaround I'm just like, it's amazing watching how all this plays out. And then you have Klobuchar like, when I become governor, I'm just going to appoint Tim Walz. So there it is. Coming up after the break, I'm going to have my guest is going to be Matthew Martson. He's a Hollywood actor. You've maybe seen him when he was in Rambo, Transformers, Revenge of the Fallen, Resident Evil, DOA, Dead or Alive, bunch of movies. Then he became an outspoken conservative. He got blacklisted, and now he's a podcaster. So we're going to start off the interview with one of his clips talking about the death of Daniel Pretty, and then talk about some of the things he's interested in. And I went through his YouTube channel and looked at, he's got some very long podcasts, but The Sinister Power Shaping Hollywood Stories. I just want the cliff notes on it. I'm not going to spend 2 hours watching it. And then former FBI agent reveals the patterns nobody is connecting. Those two caught my eye as like, oh, I want to talk about that. So we're going to get into a whole host of issues. And then in the third hour, Stuart Rhodes, who will be hosting the War Room later today, is going to come in here. If he gets here early enough, we can pop him in at 10. If not, he'll get here at 10:30. And be here for the last half hour and talk about things. And I might even take some calls. It looks like I've blown through my clips here. I do want to get into a CNN clip getting torched because they're talking about immigration and nobody on the CNN panel knows that an illegal alien beheaded an American citizen there in Little Mogadishu and everybody's surprised of it. So. But as we go to break, don't forget we are supported by you at thealexjonesstore.com. Also, InfoWarsStore.com. You can check both sites out. Everything that you get there supports what we do. I would suggest if you haven't ever tried the methylene blue, I take one pill every other day of the capsules of methylene blue. And I will, honest to God, it has cleared my brain fog. I don't have brain fog anymore. I get up in the morning, I'm awake. It's not like getting up and going, like walking like this. I'm up. And I will tell you, one of the side benefits, when I was in New Orleans this weekend, I didn't have any problems getting up in the morning. I didn't have any problems doing anything. My sister, she's a little slow getting up. But, you know, I was the one going to get coffee while she stayed in bed. We had different rooms. But I was there with my sister and like three other friends were having a good time, a good little reunion. But methylene blue was the key to my success. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. All that stopped with the Sea Moss because it's a thyroid issue and the
the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together. And they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, and it has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's for good, me. Right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on like my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's like, amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, this person, you're paying them. But like, no, our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to like the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it like happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, it's not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize it until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is, nope, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
To every law enforcement officer, every physical confrontation that they have with another person, there is a potential that they can be overpowered and their weapon be taken. We've seen this. It's not bunkum, especially if you got someone who's on drugs. Put yourself into the mindset of the cops. They're trying to assess this situation. They know they've got to follow the law. They know that they're going to be absolutely crucified if they don't do everything perfectly. And then a lot of time they're facing situations that they've never come up against before. And then they've got to worry about someone who could be high on drugs, overpowering them, taking their gun, and they could be slain with their gun. Now, to you and me, we're looking at this video and we're going, okay, that's a video. This is every single day of these guys' lives. Every single day. We just don't see it.
So that is my guess. That was Matthew Martz, and he posted that yesterday on his X account. You can follow him at Matthew Martzen on X, and he does a podcast because he was a Hollywood actor. I mean, he was in a bunch of big budget movies in the, right, you know, kind of in the start of the end of George Bush era, going into the Obama era. And then what did we see in 2009? There's a chart. I don't know if you guys can find it, but it's when the woke started and everything became racist. Everything became, you know, immigrants, brown people, all that started in the major media publications. They really started harping on that. And that's kind of when society changed. But here's the article from Huffington Post that kind of kicked it off. Matthew Marston hides right-wing political views. Look at that. There's my guest right here. He's right over my shoulder. And, we found him. We found a right-wing activist in Hollywood. I mean, we could count, like, there's five of them. I think James Woods is one. Couple others that are dead now. There was the author who wrote the JFK books. It's just, there's not that many of you guys. Why are you such a problem in the United States, in Hollywood?
By the way, thank you for having me on the show.
Sure.
I don't know. I think it's to do with groupthink. Hollywood, believe it or not, I know a lot of people, I dismiss it, but Hollywood is, the greatest propaganda outlet that has ever been. I mean, if you think about, the amount of money that is put behind movies to promote them and the actors in them, it's massive, massive amounts of money, around about $3 billion. So it's a really effective tool of getting people's names out there, not only getting their name out, but, paying them an absolute ton of money. And then what they can do then is go out and they can promote these Democrat causes, because it's like, I'd say it's almost 99% Democrat there, but also they get paid a ton of money. So they can just keep going out and going out and going out, and that gravy train never ends. But if you're a conservative, the last thing they want is you going out saying that you support Trump or that you support a conservative. That is anathema to them. So they want to shut you down. They want to make sure that you don't get too big. And a lot of people say to me, well, what about Chris Pratt? I'm like, well, Chris Pratt had, number one, he didn't come out as a conservative until after he was very famous with Guardians of the Galaxy. And also he has three franchises behind him. So he's actually too big to cancel. And by the way, he married a Kennedy. So we all know in the industry that you better not open your mouth and say anything. Otherwise the work just dries up, and they do it in a very, it's kind of like a very despicable way, because you can't exactly point to the moment really that you were canceled. I'm very lucky. I can look at that article and I can say, well, look at the movies I did up until that point, and then what happened after then. And the fact I lost my agent, lost my manager, and the work kind of went away because the agents just stopped calling you. And the casting directors stop calling you in. And all you've got to do is go on any casting director in Hollywood, go on any of their social media accounts. If you go on Facebook, I'm a lot friends with a lot of them on Facebook. And all it is like this just absolute tirade of leftist nonsense. So, of course, and now the actors have become even more involved, and they feel like it really is, you know, they have to virtue signal at every single award show. So they come out and tell you exactly what they think, and you're seeing it all over, that they absolutely hate Trump. They hate MAGA, which is anyone that is not a complete leftist. And so that for me has been, it's actually been kind of, it's been great for me to see this, because finally I can say, this is what it's like for us on set every day. This is what we hear. It's just you guys haven't heard it because they've kept it under wraps.
Yeah, and it is really amazing that they've been able to corner the market on groupthink, and just, you know, no other opinions are allowed. You have to follow us. And to me, it did start with Obama. That was the, we're going to change culture. So we've elected a black president. Now we're going to make everybody feel bad about being white. And from there, you have to follow all these other rules. And it's only when we start saying, oh, now it's going to be this, now it's going to be this. And they change it as they go. And you have to fall in line and start speaking the new talking points. It's like changing out the chip. You know, now you have to be for the Ukraine war. Now you have to be for transgender surgeries. Now you have to be for I don't know, whatever nonsense they come up with. And if you don't follow in lockstep, they just go, oh, you're done. So how did your agent and your manager leave you? Did they say anything, or was it just like, well, we're not going to work with you anymore, we're going another direction? Was it, did it have a political undertone to it, or how did that actually happen?
Oh yeah. I think that the killer blow that's in that article is that it says, if I'm honored to, I'm just paraphrasing now, if I'm honored to hang around with right wing, like religious people and anti-gay, like the anti-gay thing was the thing that absolutely was the straw that broke the camel's back, because that was the thing that you could not be called. And of course I wasn't, but that doesn't matter, that, you know, facts don't matter. And I just got a call and it was like, hey, I don't think I'm working hard enough for you, you know? And I'm like,
It's not you. It's me. That's what that
was. It's totally right. It's like breaking up with the girl. She's like, you know, it's not you. It's me. You know, I'm sorry about that. But you know, I will say this. It's interesting that, number one, where did Obama go after he left office? He didn't necessarily go on these massive speaking tours. He went to Netflix because he understands the power of media. And it is the case. And I keep telling my friends and I keep putting it out there for my friends in Hollywood. I'm like, listen, it's only a matter of time before whatever little protected group you think you're in is going to fall foul of the woke mob, right? Like you might turn around and say, well, I'm for this right now. Yay, I'm in the group. And then they just turn around and say, well, no, you've got to believe this, as you said, and then you're out. And they just keep getting more and more and more extreme, but it's very easy for them now. I mean, by the way, the other thing that they used to out people was COVID.
Yeah.
If you said that you weren't taking the vaccine, then
you're wearing a mask or staying locked down,
or wearing a mask or any of that. And there's several instances of that. I know a stuntman guy, a friend of mine, who was told, you know, he was a stunt coordinator, he'd been the stunt double for a very, very famous actor, and he was basically booted off this movie and shamed, actually. That's a whole other story. I don't want to say who it is, but he was shamed and he was kicked off because he wouldn't take the vaccine.
Wow. Yeah, I just saw that it said it said Reacher actor. The main guy who plays Reacher is a big time leftist, he seems like. Like he is woke supreme, as I like to say. What was it like working with him?
Well, we worked separately. Mm-hmm. So, when I did Reacher, I worked on the, on Flashback. So I actually play his dad.
Okay.
Which is kind of funny. But initially, if you remember, if you cast your mind back, he actually came out and said a lot of stuff that was very pro-Christian. And then like 2 weeks later, he came out with all this other stuff. So I don't know what's going on with him. I mean, it's just par for the course.
Well, he wanted to keep his franchise. That's what happened. You know, he's looking at dollar signs.
I'm sure he got a little bit of pressure. I mean, I don't know that for sure, but you know, you've got to remember, Rob, when you walk onto set and you're number one and everyone's looking at you, there's certain expectations that you have and you just want to like get on with everyone and you don't want any hassle. I mean, I don't want to like ascribe intent to him in any way, shape or form, but it is an echo chamber in Hollywood.
Sure.
It really is an echo chamber in Hollywood. And you're seeing it right now. I mean, I can tell you like I've had a number of things come over my desk over the past like 2 years and almost every single one has an element of, you know, this is a gay role or this is, you know, so even though the agenda, and again, I'm not saying that I'm against gays, right? I'm just saying that we don't want to get bombarded with this over and over and over again, like the DEI. We don't need this. But they still keep doubling down on it. It's like they haven't learned their lesson at all.
Well, I think I've got your way back into mainstream Hollywood. I've got this idea. We have Grok actually working on the script right now. And you maybe seen the movie Cool Runnings about the Jamaican bobsled team. You've seen that movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
this is even better. This is the Somali bobsled team. And the coach is Tim Walz. Okay. It's called Loot Runnings. And these guys literally steal all the money from the Olympic Committee, the U.S. Olympic Committee. And then like they're living in lavish paradise. They got the best training and they're going to, I mean, the tagline, I think this is a good one. They will steal the gold while they steal your hearts. I mean, what do you think? You think we're ready to go prime time with this?
Well, yeah, I mean, only if the actual team are black lesbians and I can play them because I identify. Oh, they've got to be crippled black lesbians, then I'm a shoo-in for the Oscar.
We got a guy in a wheelchair who pushes at the end. He's pushing it from behind. So we got Somali Runnings, I mean, yeah, director Tim Wall. So people are already coming out with offshoots of this. This is going to be good. Grok is like super excited. He's like, this is going to be the best movie ever. And, you know, because we don't have time to write Hollywood scripts. Who has time anymore? So we're just going to make this, I mean, a good one-shot deal. Get in, get the money from Hollywood and take it, back to us and then buy more guns with it.
I love it. I love it. I mean, seriously though, people don't realize that they changed the rules, for you to be eligible for an Oscar.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why you're seeing, a lot of these movies changing and making their cast more diverse.
Diversity it's not quotas. About, look,
yeah. Yeah, I don't care what color you are, what your sexuality is. Don't care about that. Just are you good at your job? And that's all that should matter, right? We should be merit-based. And that's why you're seeing, like, people look now and they go, that movie won? What is going on? And they still don't understand.
Yeah.
They still don't understand that they can't make movies that people want to watch.
They can't. And that's why the revenue's gone down. People are saying Hollywood's dying. There's a resurgence of independent films. And, you know, I actually moved to Austin to get into film, ended up just getting into video. And then, you know, many years later came here. I've been here since 2009. So I've really seen the progression. Cause when I got here, it was not all the woke stuff. That was like, I started in like late 2010, 2011, like you started seeing this in these social justice warriors. That's when you first started hearing that term. And since then, when Trump got in, it just went into overdrive. But, let's jump to, Fulton County. I mean, yesterday we saw, pictures of Tulsi Gabbard, you know, peering from behind a corner on a telephone, really spy versus spy looking. Have you paid attention to what went on during the 2020 election? And, what do you think is actually going to come out of it? Do you think we'll see accountability?
Well, they're two separate things. Are we going to see that there was corruption and fraud? That's one thing. But are we going to see accountability? Who knows, right? I mean, I think we're at a point right now where if we do not see accountability on these things, and certainly, as you mentioned earlier with Minnesota, if we don't see accountability, people are going to get very, very frustrated. The good thing is I'm a massive Tulsi Gabbard fan. I think she's amazing. And she's the one that's like quietly working behind the scenes, getting things done. So I have a lot more faith in her that things are going to come than if it was under Pam Bondi, to be quite frank.
Yeah. Unfortunately, she's like, I've handed all the information to Pam Bondi. And I had an article from Jim Hoff and he's like, let's see if anything happens. I'm not holding my breath. And I think that's the general consensus is that we're really not seeing anything from Pam Bondi. Go to the end of that article, guys, if you can. Scroll down to the bottom. Jim's got a good line. Oh, it's a screenshot. Anyway, I don't have the article in front of me. I've already moved it on to my other stack of stuff. But he just says, I'm not holding my breath. I don't know because nobody expects anything to really happen with her because we've seen it's been a year already and not much has happened. So, but I agree.
Yeah, I think we are
going to see the fraud. We're going to see lots of evidence of fraud. And then at the end of the day, I'm about 20%. We'll see accountability.
Yeah. They've got to do it. I really do think they have. And look, you know, it's not, coming from Trump because if it was Trump, he's like, you got to throw the book at them. I mean, you know, when someone tries to kill you twice, it kind of radicalizes you to want to get to the bottom of things. So I think out of all the appointments that he's done, I think she's been the most disappointing. Personally, I'm a little bit biased, but I think he should have put Ken Paxton in that job. I think that if it would have been Ken Paxton, who continues to knock it out the park in Texas, and now obviously he's running for Senate and, you know, he's going to win. I mean, and he should win. But I think that if it was him in charge of the DOJ, then we'd be seeing prosecutions. But listen, we have to see them. And everyone's looking now and they're saying, what is going on? In the back of my mind, I'm hoping that they're putting everything together and they're coming up with this, you know, they're playing 4D chess. I'm hoping.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit, I am a glass half full guy.
You know, I feel the same way. I want to see this stuff happen. I want to believe that there's still good people in our government. because I've been let down so many times. You know, the clip we played earlier was you were talking about, Daniel, Pretty and his death. And basically the situation of, you know, you're putting yourself in these situations, you know, it's like Alex said, you don't step in front of an 18 wheeler going, oh my God, the 18 wheeler hit me. You know, you just don't, yeah. You don't jump on the conveyor belt and go, I got sliced up by the machines. Oh my God. No, I mean, when you kick the hornet's nest, hornets may come out and sting you. Maybe not the first time, maybe not the second time, but eventually they will get you. And you know, do you think, how do you think the agents acted, and what do you think's going on? What do you see the new response being from the administration?
Well, I think there's a few things going on there. Firstly, I want to say this. Those of us, the Gen Xers and a lot of younger people, grew up in the FAFO era, where if you open your mouth to someone, as you see people doing on social media all the time, if you did it, for me, growing up in the UK in the pub, you could be almost guaranteed you get a smack in the mouth. So what that did was that limited your behavior, right? You knew there were boundaries that you couldn't cross.
There's a code.
And this comes from when you're a kid.
Yeah.
Right? It goes all the way back to when you're a kid. If you are engaged, for example, with a parent, and I've always said this, like rough and tumble play for kids, right? You learn about strength, especially men. They learn about strength. They learn healthy boundaries, right? You don't do certain things or there are going to be consequences, especially physical consequences. And what we've had over the, you know, the past like 20 years, maybe longer than that, is a generation of people. I'm not saying everyone, right? So I don't want any haters coming in saying I didn't have that experience. But what we do have is a bunch of people, number one, that feel they're entitled. And number two, they don't have a healthy respect for physical violence, right? And you have to understand that when you're inputting yourself into this situation, this isn't Grand Theft Auto, right? This isn't some kind of video game. It's not Fortnite. Like, you can't come in on your white horse and think that you can get in the way of these federal officers, which, by saying that video, every instance where they are dealing with a physical altercation with another person, it's a gunfight. It's a gunfight because that person can take the gun off that officer and use it against them. So that's the mentality when they're going in. Now, again, I'm just an actor, so what do I know? But I do have common sense. And do I think people should be able to protest? Of course. Do I think that people should be able to carry a gun? Of course. Do I think that they should be getting in the middle of ICE agents enacting an operation? Of course not. I mean, this is just stupidity. And, you know, what we've seen, again, this happens over and over and over again, Rob, with the left, is they go, oh, this guy's an angel. He's just the greatest person. He's a nurse. You know, he just wants to help people. And then you look like 11 days ago and he's kicking a car. Now, again, for those of us that grew up with consequences, you know that if you kick a car, the chances are that there's going to be consequences for that. But these people, and by the way, they've been enabled for years and years and years, going back to the Summer of Love, that they're not going to get prosecuted. They know that they're not going to get prosecuted. Well, there's a new sheriff in town with Donald Trump and Tom Homan, and these guys are going to get prosecuted. Now, as far as the shoot's concerned, I think it's a bad shoot, but a legal one. And I understand it. I understand why it happened. But here's the thing. If he was standing peacefully on the side, which the left just doesn't understand the difference, like if he was standing peacefully on the side of the road, protesting ICE, that's fine. But if you're following ICE agents, if you're tracking them, and what would we think if someone's tracking us? I mean, just a regular citizen would go, what is that person tracking? What's the point of that person tracking us? What are they trying to do? And it's reasonable for the ICE agents to think that. And look, you're always in a difficult situation and a precarious situation when you're dealing with armed officers. That's just the way it is. Again, it's just common sense. And again, this will not be the last one, Rob. It's not going to be the last one.
I totally agree.
They still think they can go out and do it.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's not going to be the last one. They want more. And they put out articles 6 months ago saying, hey, And the Democrat leaders are saying we're getting from our people on the ground because they've been fomented forever. Democrats told to get shot for the anti-Trump resistance. And that's not a good recipe for success. In any regard, you may get a little bit of martyrdom cred, but that's, hey, you know, I'm sure Preddy's family would rather have him here than win some lawsuit. You know, if they end up winning a lawsuit against, filing against these, ICE agents, which they probably are not going to win because the government never admits they're wrong in any case. So what you're going to have is even if they win $1 million, it still doesn't bring him back. You know, the supposed hero nurse. Now, I cruised your YouTube channel the other day, which is the Matthew Marston channel. You can find that on YouTube. I saw a couple videos that they grabbed my attention, but they were also an hour and 45 minutes long, and it was like midnight last night. So I want the cliff notes of these. We'll get the first one here, and then when we come back, we have a five-minute segment, and I want to get the second one. So the first one was the sinister power shaping Hollywood stories. Give it to me. What is this power?
Well, I mean, basically, look, I think that this is a spiritual war in Hollywood. I think that all of this is a spiritual war. But I think that, you know, for a lot of people, if you say that, they call you a kook. But the way it manifests itself is in DEI and the way that they are trying to corrupt people's minds with propaganda. So, you know, and you said it really effectively earlier on about the change in movies. You know, if you look at the early 2000s, we were still getting great movies, and that's when I came to Hollywood. It was still really great movies. There was no agenda. And literally in 2010 on, or just after Obama came in, that's when they really started pushing these more woke agendas. I mean, I think it's always, the messaging has always been in there in one way, shape, or form. It just depends on who is right, who's writing the script and who's making the script. I mean, you can go back to McCarthyism and why did they go into Hollywood over that? It's because it was, there was a bunch of communists in there. And you know, for me, I'm like, we should probably bring that back.
And it's interesting how that has been seen through the lens of history. It was like, oh, he was bad. He was going after people. But now we kind of look back at it again and like, well, maybe he had a point. Maybe McCarthy wasn't so bad.
Yeah, and listen, the CCP invests heavily into Hollywood. And did you know this? A lot of people don't know this. If you get money from China, which they were funding a lot of the big movies, if you look at, I think World of Warcraft was funded by the Chinese, that you are not allowed to have a Chinese person as a villain at all in the movie. So you will never see someone who is Chinese in a Hollywood movie that's a villain.
That's like the Red Dawn remake was like that. They had to make everybody North Korean. They actually had to go back and change their uniforms and stuff in post because they're like, oh, no, China can't. There's no bad Chinese.
Yeah, and that tells you everything. And if you look back as well, Rob, if you look back at the really great, the great era of Hollywood where you had Jimmy Stewart, you had Burt Lancaster, Steve McQueen, all those guys were veterans.
Yep.
All those guys were veterans that loved their country.
Yeah.
And then what do we have now? The woke mob.
We have purple-haired people. We have the wicked cast, which I feel bad. I think those ladies are being tortured in some way to go out there and act like that. At least the actress with the giant head, who looks like she's emaciated. I forget her name. But we got 20 seconds. We're going to come back from break and I'm going to get you on your next, video that you put out there, a little Cliff's Notes on it. And, I'll ask you this now and you can answer it. What is your favorite movie of all time? So my kids ask me that all the time and I'm like, I don't know. There's so many good ones, but we'll be right back. You're watching The American Journal. I'm your host, Rob Dew.
We sell the best supplements, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, and knives at theauctionstore.com. And they've had some awesome daggers and awesome trench knives, and that's all great. But I said, I want a wide selection of high-quality folding knives, flip knives, you name it, so people have a one-stop shop. They got in a few thousand knives a few months ago. They sold out very quickly, four or five great designs. They got a bigger shipment in. In just the last few days, our sponsor, just really top-flight knives. These knives, this knife right here you see in the green, highest quality Damascus steel, all of it. These sell in stores for $75 all day. We're selling for $40, $47. Okay? So look at that flip. Flips right out. got a nice little, you know, my signature on it, real small, a nice little memento for the broadcast. That is a really nice knife. It clips on to your belt buckles. We have it in the green. We have it in the murdered out black. We have it also in silver without it being blacked out. Those are great knives. Those are the new designs. Now, those 200 left of the Skull Crusher World War II trench knife with the Spartan tip of the spear. So they held those back. Those are available. A little bit left they held back in their overstock of the Fire with Its Beauty. But this is a really cool knife. Alex Jones Phantom Folding Knife. Limited stock of that came back in. Also, the Alex Jones Burnt Orange Folding Knife. And this is the knife that sold out the quickest of any knife. They got 500 of these. 1,000 now just came in. The first one sold out like in hours. Alex Jones Ring Blade. I guess those are popular. This is something I didn't really call for, but it's awesome. Got that ring on the back. Got the deal. It's really nice. Those are all back in stock right now at thealexjonesstore.com. While you're at it, get Methylene Blue, Irish Sea Moss, and more. And check out the Patriot Apparel, thealexjonesstore.com.
Off the third hour of the American Journal. I'm your host, Rob Due. Coming up after the break, Stuart Rhodes is going to be in here in studio with me. He drove in from his current destination or his current residence out in the Hill Country, and he's also going to be hosting the War Room. So we've got a host of issues to talk about. My current guest, Matthew Marston, you can check him out on YouTube at Matthew Marston Channel or at Matthew Marston, M-A-R-S-D-E-N, Marsden, M-A-R-S-D-E-N, on X. And so I got two questions for you as we wrap this up. I gave you a little time to think. You had 2 minutes to think about this. What's your favorite movie of all time?
Well, I knew what it was immediately. It's got to be Jaws.
Oh, okay.
I know that most people say like The Godfather or whatever, but the way I look at it is what is a movie that I can't turn off whenever I see it come on? And I just think Jaws is a masterpiece.
That's Ben Gardner's boat. That's Ben Gardner's boat. We actually had a production company called BGB Productions, which stood for Ben Gardner's Boat, which that's a very classic reference in Jaws, very deep reference there. I'm a Star Wars fan. That's my personally my top favorite just because of all the archetypes and just the struggle it took for George Lucas to make that film the way he wanted to, I think is even more compelling than the movie itself. But let's go to this last ex-FBI reveals the pattern nobody is connecting. So what are the real threats facing America today that were revealed to you by an ex-FBI agent?
Yeah, well, my friend Tim Clemente, who was on the Joint Terrorism Task Force, he came on my show and he was just detailing how, you know, there's this kind of like increasing rhetoric, you know, like if you are telling someone, this is very obvious, but then you see it manifesting, is if you keep telling someone, hey, these people are Nazis, these people are Nazis, these people are white supremacists, these people are basically evil, because you can't think of a group in history that were more evil. Well, maybe the communists, but you know, we don't want to talk about the communists, right? Like nobody kind of talks about communism. They like focus on the Nazis, but he was saying that, you know, if you continue to carry on with that rhetoric, then what it does is it says to people, it's okay for you to do whatever it takes to stop them.
Yep.
And so if you look at it like that, and the way that they tried to take down Trump initially, well, first they impugned his character, then they went after him illegally, I believe illegally. And then eventually they tried to kill him. Then you're seeing like a pattern there, because they haven't stopped, by the way. You'd think it's the same thing with what's going on in Minnesota. You see the shift, right? You see them kind of say with the Star Wars reference, like, oh, there's all this fraud. These aren't the droids we're looking for. Look over here. Look at this. Look at what's going on over here. And the left is their masters are doing it. I feel that after COVID, the conservatives have said, look, we're not falling for that anymore. And we're going to like stay on target. Another Star Wars reference, yeah, right? Like stay on target. And so I think that we haven't seen any calming down or cooling of the rhetoric. And it's to cause all this chaos, right? It's to cause all this chaos in the streets. And I think that initially you'd have been called a conspiracy theorist if you thought that. But now we look and we're like, no, that's what's happening. It's playing out right in front of us.
We're living it right now. It's amazing. It's really amazing how it's all taken a turn. I'm a Gen Xer as well. And yeah, we lived by the code of, you fought it out in the streets if you had to. I was in many fist fights, mainly just for talking shit to people. And that's what happens. And you learn, the physical boundary. My two middle sons, the youngest one was saying, hey, come hit me. The other one went over and bopped him in the head. And I said, why did you say come hit me? You were talking smack the whole time. Now you see what happens. And my wife was, oh, they're fighting. I'm like, well, actually one of them learned a lesson today. You don't talk to somebody bigger than you like you're bigger than them because they might come at you and you can't stop it. So where can people find your podcast?
You can find me on YouTube at Matthew D. Marsden. So go and look at Matthew D. Marsden.
Matthew D. Marsden, thank you for joining me. And we got Stuart Rhodes coming up next. Did I butcher?
Energy shots have been all the rage for decades because they really work. But most of them are full of dyes and toxic stimulants and have huge crashes. We set out to develop a product at thealexshowstore.com that has all the very best adaptogens, nootropics to biohack your body and not just help your brain, but every cell in your entire body. We've done it, ladies and gentlemen. Mind Fuel is next level with no letdown, no crash. It is very strong. So I take half the shot in the morning, half in the afternoon, and it's just amazing. And again, the effects go on for days and days and days because these are super nutrients that are in Mind Fuel. For the time I have here, I can't tell you all the incredible ingredients. So go to thealexshowstore.com and look at what is in it and, of course, proprietary herbal ingredients as well. Go now to thealexjonesstore.com and secure your Mind Fuel and be the reason we'll always be on the air. Thank you so much for your support. If you love our other products, you're going to love Mind Fuel.
Used to wearing them chains after a while, Luke. But you never stop listening to them clinking. Because they're going to remind you of what I've been saying. For your own good.
Wish you'd stop being so good to me, Captain.
Don't you ever talk that way to me. Never! Never! What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach. So you get what we had here last week, which is the way he wants it. Well, he gets it.
They're gonna put y'all back in chains.
I don't like it any more than you do.
Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic.
You cannot be civil with a political party that wants to destroy what you stand for, what you care about.
So it's going to be up to us on January 6, 2025 to tell the rampaging Trump mobs that he's disqualified. And then we need bodyguards for everybody in civil war conditions.
This is just a warning to you Trumpers. Be careful. Walk lightly. We ain't playing with you. And for those of you who are soldiers, you know how to do it. Do it right. Be in order. Make them pay.
Against us? Should we be concerned about our safety? What is he doing with this divisive language?
I will go and take Trump out tonight.
If you had to be stuck in an elevator with either President Trump, Mike Pence, or Jeff Sessions, who would it be?
Does one of us have to come out alive?
But he's taking these shots, this antagonism, yep. This taunting to the intelligence community.
You take on the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday of getting back at you.
And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you cry.
And we've got to get more active. We've got to get more confrontational. We've got to make sure that they know that we need it.
Please, get up in the face of some Congress people.
What does Trump expect? Oh, I believe he expects violence. I believe he expects confrontation. I believe he's working toward a civil war.
When you're in the arena, you got to be ready to take a punch. You got to be ready to throw a punch for the children. For the children.
Not only do we need to disinvest for in police, but we need to completely dismantle the Minneapolis Police Department.
I believe that injustice is a threat to the safety of all people. Once someone doesn't have access to clean water, they have no choice but to riot, right?
If this country doesn't give us what we want, then we will burn down this system and replace it.
You know, there needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there's unrest in our lives. And unfortunately, there's plenty to go around.
What we've got to do is fight in Congress, fight in the courts, fight in the streets.
Fight in the streets.
No one has ever been more dangerous to this country than Donald Trump, and he is a fascist to his core.
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
They're still going to have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump, and that's a fact.
He should have spent a bit more time at the range. It's a pity he missed.
Yes, I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
With all due respect, we're walking down a damn different path. We're fighting fire with fire. I'm going to punch these sons of bitches in the mouth.
Could you imagine, just imagine in your mind, if you told people they couldn't vote next November? I think there would be a genuine uprising in this country.
But Michelle Wood says that, you know, when they go low, we go high. No. When they go low, we kick.
All right. That was the Podesta plan, kind of a full service of that. And sitting next to me here is Stuart Rhodes, a good friend of mine. I've known you since, what, 2009?
Yeah.
Right, I met you at Lexington Green.
That's right.
And I was really taken by this guy who's just,
you know.
He was
an Oathkeeper OG.
I took the oath, actually. Who gave that oath? That was
Retired Colonel Cunningham.
Cunningham.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, from the infamous 29 Palm Study.
I have a great clip because we interviewed him. We interviewed a lot of the guys that you had there for, right. We did an Oath Keepers segment in one of our movies and y'all were in the documentary, but then we did its own little special documentary. But I remember Guy Cunningham did 29 Palms.
That's right.
Which is, surveyed the Marines and what 30% said they would fire on Americans if ordered to.
That's right.
So,
yeah.
It was in 1990?
Yep, that was his doctrinal thesis.
I mean, can you imagine that? I wonder what the people thought when they read that. They're like, holy
shit. Well, it caused quite a firestorm across the country. A big wake-up call. That's one of the motivations for founding Oath Keepers, actually, was that we make sure that the guys understand, you know, where the lines are in the Constitution.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, man, how did those lines have been blurred lately? And in fact, we were talking about this. You know, the ICE agents not being trained. You're saying they're not being trained well enough. My argument is they're not, in some places, you don't hear about any ICE problems because they're working with local enforcement.
That's the issue.
That's who's doing the crowd control. Right. That's who's doing the area cordon offs. They know how to do that. These guys, you can't be trained in everything.
Right.
You know, they're trained to go in and grab a guy and bring him back for deportation.
Exactly. So they need officers that are trained in crowd control, which is, hey, a lot of National Guard units train for crowd control.
Yep.
So they should be bringing in, this is what I've been advocating for forever, is half measures don't work. President Trump should invoke the Insurrection Act, even for a limited purpose of bringing in National Guard to support ICE. Because the worry about the courts saying, well, you haven't, you know, done this properly. Well, the Insurrection Act is his full strength invocation of his powers to call forth the National Guard.
What do you think he's waiting for?
I don't know. Good question. I think the optics are bad, and he's worried about the midterms. I think this is a repeat. This is a deja vu repeat of 2020.
Yeah.
Oh, you can't do that because I was calling for him back then in the summer of love to invoke this open insurrection in the country. Obviously, direct physical force being used against federal agents trying to burn down the Portland courthouse. And so I'm like, why doesn't he do this? And I'm sure the reason why is he was told, if you do this, you'll lose the election. So now he's being told the same thing. If you do this, we'll lose the midterms.
Yeah.
So you get him to wind up falling for
you're gonna lose him anyway.
Well, that's the problem. You know? It's because half measures don't work, you wind up with him being perceived as being defeated in Minneapolis, which I think is the perception, and then you wind up with him not taking the actions that we want him to take. We want him to go after these people. I'm glad to see what they did in Georgia. We'll talk about that. Mm-hmm. Yep. But his base expects more. And the base is now, well, how do we know this is not just a window dressing to placate us for the midterms? How do we know that?
Exactly.
We don't know.
Exactly. Yeah, we keep you guys in power, and then what do? You same old nothing.
Right.
You know, it's like, oh, well, now that we're in power for two more years and, well, you know, Pam's got to go do some TV appearances and talk about the minor people she's arrested who may or may not ever receive justice. You know, they arrested Don Lemon this morning. I don't know if you heard that.
Did not know that.
Yeah, they arrested him this morning. In fact, I'll pull up. Brianna Morello sent me the statement his lawyer put out, and it was, oh, you're attacking the First Amendment.
Right.
You know, and you could say, now I'm thinking, I heard this theory, and I'm thinking Don Lemon was probably an FBI informant, a covert, asset, and he went there to gather evidence for them so they could go after these people, because the one of the ladies they arrested, the ringleader, she was a attorney during the Summer of Love, and she was getting people out of jail and doing all this stuff. So I think this was kind of a setup to get these people, and Don Lemon might be working for the government at this point. I don't know. It just seems kind of weird that he's there right before it happens. He gets the news, and then, you know, we see this arrest. He doesn't get arrested immediately, though. And we'll see, but I think we'll know with what happens to him. Is he going to really face punishment?
He might have wanted to do that. He might have gone there as bait to get Trump to arrest him so they can say, oh, look, he's coming after the First Amendment.
Right.
That's always possible.
That could be too. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like they wanted the crazy Karens in the street to be cannon fodder.
Right.
I don't think they care about these people at all.
Okay, we have the statement on the screen, actually.
Okay.
Don Lemon was taken into custody by federal agents last night in Los Angeles, where he was covering the Grammy Awards. I hope they pulled him out of the Grammys. That would have been so good. Don has been a journalist. I hope there's video of this. Don has been a journalist for 30 years and continuously worked in Minneapolis. And his constitutionally protected work in Minneapolis was no different than what he has always done. The First Amendment exists to protect journalists whose role is to shine light on the truth and hold those in power accountable. There is no more important time for people like Don to be doing this work. Instead of investigating the federal agents who killed two peaceful Minnesota protesters, which there's an investigation, the Trump Justice Department is devoting its time, attention, and resources to this arrest. And that is the real indictment of the wrongdoing in this case. I don't know. What do you think?
Like I said, I think it might have been done as a way to get
provoke.
Trump, to provoke him into arresting a journalist. Now they can say, oh, look, see, we really are right. He's a fascist.
Right.
Attacking the First Amendment.
Well, I don't see Don Lemon, if he's working for the government, as being noble. This is more like a Gollum type thing. He's like, he sees the ring of power and he wants it. And this is his only way. You don't think so?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think he's working for the left.
Yeah.
So I think in some ways it's a mistake. It's frustrating because he's not just there as a journalist, but in some ways it's a mistake to arrest him because it gives them this opportunity to say, look, here he goes attacking journalists.
So then why would they arrest him? They didn't arrest him in the first round of arrests. You know, so why, it's like, why would you arrest him now? You know, to me, it's just,
maybe Cash Patel thinks this makes him look good.
So, maybe so. I mean, these people don't really have a good eye for what makes them look good.
No, they don't. They have a bad eye for optics.
Yeah.
And going back to the officers, I mean, I want to make it clear. I support ICE.
Yeah.
I support what they're doing. It's a tough job. But watching the arrest of Preddy, watching that attempted arrest, I guess one guy was pistol whipping him in the face. There's like four officers around him. And what I saw is just poor training.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you want to grab somebody and keep him from reaching his waistband, you put him in a half Nelson so he can't put his hand down there.
Right. Exactly.
And you put him on his face and you take the rear mount and you cuff him up.
Right.
They weren't doing that. They're like, you know, pounding.
It was like, it looked like a barroom brawl.
Yeah. So you have officers not trained. I'm just saying, look guys, it's a tough job, but if you're going to have guys out there as a security element to watch and protect the team that's going inside to snatch the bad guy.
Right.
Those guys got to direct action mission. They can focus on that. But the ones in the street should be trained with how to take people down safely and securely, yeah, and keep their hands out of their waistband.
Yeah.
You just what you get good training with a police officer. So where local cops help them, they have that, because if local cops know how to do that, they're being denied, intentionally denied, that assistance for this reason. Boy, the bad guys want this stuff to happen.
And notice the state police, the next night after this, they came out, made arrests, they came out full force, and nobody was stopping them. You know, there was no like yelling at them and blowing whistles. It was like, now you're getting arrested. We declared an unlawful assembly. See, the ICE agents can't do that. They don't have the power to do that. All they can do is protect themselves, and that's part of the problem. They don't have the power over the area. They just have the power over themselves and who they're grabbing.
Right. So you need guys that are trained to do that, to handle crowd control,
yeah,
who can deal with the frustration, having whistles in your face and being, you know, bullhorns and the people screaming at you. I've experienced that.
Yeah.
It sucks. And disorientates.
I kind of like it.
It disorientates you. You get used to it after a while. Yeah. It disorientates you, and it's meant to make you snap. And that's what it's doing to these guys. So they just need better trained people handling that section of the mission.
We bought these things. They're called hyper whistles. I recommend anybody go out and get one. And when a leftist starts blowing a bullhorn or a whistle in your face, because their whistles only go so high, the hyper whistle goes to 200 decibels.
I got
to
get one of those.
And let me tell you, I keep it in my shooter's vest. My when I say shooter, I mean camera shooter vest.
Right.
And it's black, and it's in the inside pocket. And anytime one of these old ladies comes on, blows their little whistle at me, I'm like, oh, you have a whistle. Would you like to see my whistle? And I blow it. And this one lady, she was blowing her whistle at us. We're trying to shoot a video. Me and Alex, I blow my whistle at her. She took her whistle out, just turned around and walked away. And it's the best form of non-lethal, deterrent out there. You have to fight fire with fire, because I think it's personally assault to put that siren in your face, yeah, you know, from the megaphone or any of that stuff. People put that in your ear, it could damage your hearing.
It is. It's assault. Like the one video of the older MAGA guy, like knocking out five of them.
Oh, yeah.
That was just fantastic.
That was fantastic. And a lot of people were blowing whistles. Now, we just got this breaking news. Todd Blanche, Mr. Do Nothing, here he just did a press conference. I think we have it queued up. He's talking about millions of Epstein files to be released. So let's go to Todd Blanche, Mr. Do Nothing, Mr. Democrat, Mr. Deep State Lawyer, hider of Epstein evidence, in my opinion. Let's see what he has to say.
Producing more than 3 million pages, including more than 2,000 videos and 180,000 images. In total, that means that the department produced approximately 3.5 million pages in compliance with the act.
That didn't exist, remember?
Just a quick note about the videos and images. The 2,000 videos and 180,000 images are not all videos and images taken by Mr. Epstein or someone around him. They include large quantities of commercial pornography and images that were seized from Epstein's devices, but which he did not take or that someone around him did not take. Some of the videos, though, and some of the images do appear to be taken by Mr. Epstein or by others around him. Now, I want to talk for a few minutes about the department's document identification and review protocols. It consisted of multiple layers of review and quality control designed to ensure compliance under the act and protect victims. On top of the review protocols that the department had in place,
which means they can black
the United States
out
Attorney's Office for the Southern District of New York, yep, employed an additional
anything
review
classified
protocol to ensure compliance with a court order requiring United States Attorney Jay Clayton to certify that with respect to certain materials, a large quantity of the materials, a rigorous process was undertaken to protect victims against any clearly unwarranted invasion of their personal privacy. The department's collection effort resulted in more than 6 million pages being identified as potentially responsive, including department and FBI emails, interview summaries, images, videos, and various other materials collected and generated during the various investigations and prosecutions that the act covered. We erred on the side of over-collection of materials from various sources to best ensure maximum transparency and compliance, which necessarily means that the number of responsive pages is significantly smaller than the total number of pages initially collected. That's why I mentioned a moment ago we're releasing more than 3 million pages today and not the 6 million pages that we collected.
I want to address what we already released too. Amazing.
The categories of documents withheld include those permitted under the Act to be withheld, files that contain personally identifiable information of victims or victims' personal and medical files, and similar files, the disclosure of which would constitute a clearly unwarranted invasion of personal privacy. Any depiction of CSAM or child pornography was obviously privacy. Excluded. Anything that would jeopardize an active federal investigation.
Oh,
there you go.
Wow. And finally, so everything's under about
that
active
depicts
investigation.
Or contain images of death, physical abuse, or injury, also not produced. No files are being withheld or redacted on that basis. Further, as we previously stated in our December 19th letter of last year, the department withheld or redacted files covered by various privileges, as we always do, including deliberative process privilege, work product privilege, and attorney-client privilege. As you all know, under the Act, the Department must subsequently submit to the House and Senate Committees on the Judiciary a report listing all categories of records released and withheld, a summary of redactions made, including the legal basis for such redactions, and a list of all government officials and politically exposed persons named or referenced in the Act. We will do so in due course as required under the Act. I want to talk for just a moment about the redactions that will be obvious to anyone who reviews the materials that we just produced today. In addition to the documentary redactions, which includes personal identifying information, victim information, and other privileges, there is extensive redactions to images.
Ooh, look what we found.
To protect victims, we redacted every woman depicted in any image or video, with the exception of Ms. Maxwell.
Oh, okay.
We did not redact images of any men, unless it was impossible to redact the woman without also redacting the man. To this end, though, and to ensure transparency, if any member of Congress wishes to review any portions of the response of production in any unredacted form, they're welcome to make arrangements with the department to do so, and we're happy to do that. I want to talk for a minute about something that is important.
Oh, whoa.
Every single day of the year, the Department of Justice investigates and prosecutes those who abuse and traffic young women and children.
Unless they're members of the deep state.
Just last year, the FBI located over 2,700 victims of child exploitation. Yeah. The Department of Justice found and terminated 3.8 million dark web pedophile accounts. In August, we charged 11 defendants for extensive sex trafficking in Los Angeles of illegal immigrants and underage women. Yeah. Last month, we charged 5 men who were engaged in a sadistic sextortion network of deranged young men abusing women.
Yeah, see? Oh, we got these people over here.
Look at several months last summer and into the fall, we executed Operation Restore Justice.
Don't look at Bill Richardson.
Rescuing 205 child victims and arresting 293 offenders.
We got a couple minutes before we go to break. Your initial, we'll maybe pick this back up, but your initial thoughts,
to me. It reminds me of what was done to us J6 defendants. They flooded us with, thousands and thousands of videos and documents, not anything that would actually be exculpatory to us. They made us sift through looking for the needle in the haystack. This is very similar. We're going to issue all these images. Look at all we're releasing. They know what we want.
Right.
And that's what they're hiding.
Exactly.
That act was written to help them hide.
Totally.
Because, one provision he didn't mention is that if it's classified, and it can be classified by the FBI, classified by DOJ, if they classify something, they don't have to release it.
Right.
So members of Congress at Kabuki Theater said, we're going to make sure they release everything, and they know they can hide within those bounds. They can hide who the real people we want to get to, the list of the world elites that were there on that island being blackmailed by Mossad and CIA. I don't trust anything out of the DOJ or the FBI at all. The only person I trust in the intelligence agencies is Tulsi Gabbard. That's it. And her team. That's it. Nobody else.
And she's on the ground in Fulton County, which we'll get to after the break.
Why does that have to happen? Why does she have to be there to do this?
Because I think she's afraid people are going to screw it up. Big time.
Yeah, she wants to make sure something gets done.
All you have to do, pull up Todd Blanche again, just real quick, just a center a shot of him. He's wearing a blue tie. That's all I need to see right there. I look at that, I'm like, oh, he's wearing a dim-tard blue tie. That's funny. We know we're not getting anything. Oh, we had 6 million documents. We're only giving you 3 million. Those are going to be heavily redacted. They may have learned from their past mistake. I doubt it. But so we'll probably still be able to copy and paste the information underneath them. It'll be interesting to see what comes out of it. You know, we know we're not getting anything, but people are still going to sift through it. People are still going to say, Trump's in them. And so we'll see. We'll see what they bring out. Interesting. We'll be right back after the break. You're watching The American Journal. Final segment coming up.
I have told the folks at Bigley, I said, I want to have the widest selection of combat daggers, trench knives, folding knives, you name it. They're high quality brands that you buy in bulk that are very competitively priced, and then support the broadcast because I love knives. I know you love knives. They have finally gotten a whole bunch of the knives that were sold out back in, and they've gotten a bunch of new, really nice flip knives that I went out and told them what brands I liked, what was going on, and they were able to get it. And so a bunch of the knives that sold out a few months ago, they're back in, and then these bad boys right here. I mean, these are absolutely amazing. Flip really easy and locks for you. This is forest green, murdered out. It's got my little signature on it, so it's a little piece of history. This is a great knife. This knife sells in stores for $75 all day long. We're selling it for 40-something and even bigger discounts, up to 50% off right now. Some of these knives are as low as $20 a piece. It's a great memento. It's a great gift for your friends and family, and it funds the operation. Go there now. We've got also the murdered out black, and I love how it's that kydex, and it's got that real fine engraving on it, so it gives you that great feeling, that great, because I got sent hundreds of knives from dozens of companies, and I'm the one that chose all these, and these are from really good companies, really good quality, and it's just a great deal. And so do your knife shopping at theyellowstonestore.com. But let me tell you what's back in stock. We have the new ones, Alex Jones Blackout Folding Knife, 7.65 assisted opening folding knife, 3.5 high carbon Damascus blade, 1095 plus 515 N20. This is all quality. D2 steel, black PVD coating, and stonewash finish, 3.3 millimeter black thickness, black G10 handle for a secure grip, 15.5 millimeter handle thickness for confident hand feel. Ball bearing pivot system for smooth deployment. I mean, it's a nice quality knife. All black, blackout finished. I call it murdered out. Fast, decisive, assisting, operating. Limited production, a little before it sells out. And then we've got the same knife, but it's silver blade folding knife. If you like that, it's got a nice little hook on the end so you can tie things. The forest green folding knife that is my close second, really a sexy knife. Same as the other one, it's just got that forest green. Call it forest, kind of like an in-between forest and olive, but it's nice. Kind of Border Patrol, I call it Border Patrol green. Let's change the name, Border Patrol green. That's actually what it is. This bad boy, these all sold out, but they always hold back a few hundred in case orders come in later or whatever. So tip of the spear, Spartan, trench knife with brass knuckles, murdered out, and the skull crusher, a few hundred of those. They held back a few of these. It had sold out, but there's about 200 left. The Last Fire with this beauty limited edition. That funds the operation as well. It's a little different. Skull Crusher isn't as big. Alex Jones Phantom Folding Knife. This has been sold out. They only got 500 of these the first run. Sold out in one day. It is back. They got 1,000 of them. And it's just a great knife. Really sleek, but really strong. Very well made. And you've got it in orange. Alex Jones Burnt Orange Folding Knife. I like that. Now we've got the Alex Jones Ring Blade. This sold out the quickest last time. That's an amazing product. And they're up to 50% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And while you're there, get some ultramethylene blue and take advantage of the very best supplements in the world. We'll be right back. Thanks for funding the Second American Revolution worldwide.
You're one.
launching The American Journal with your host, Rob Dew. Watch live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the final segment of the Friday edition. I didn't even give you all the date today, didn't I? I'm totally bad host. Friday, January 30th, 2026 edition of the American Journal. Thank you. I did it right. I don't always host, so I get rusty on these things. I don't have a good morning line. I don't have a good see you later line. I just kind of get in here and blurt it all out. Speaking of which, you will be hosting the War Room today. Harrison Smith is going to be hosting the Alex Jones Show. Alex was getting a well-deserved day off. I don't know if people have noticed, but he's talking like a combination of the guy between Sling Blade and a dude who does this to talk to people. We're hoping he takes a few days just to rest that voice because he'll come back. He's, let me tell you, I'm still getting texts from him. He's still putting directives out. I got some videos to put together when I get back, but you're going to be hosting the War Room.
Yep.
And you got to host a guest. You're just lining them up and cattle calling them in.
Got six OG.
Basically, that's one a segment, pretty much.
Yeah, 2020 election fraud OGs. We got Chris and Megyn Kelly coming on. Then we got Harrison Floyd of Black Voices for Trump, who went to jail in Georgia, one of President Trump's co-defendants. And then Trevian Kuti also went to jail, or was charged in Georgia, and was recently pardoned by President Trump. Her sin was talking to Ruby Freeman, so she'll come in. And then Garland Favorito from Voter GA.
He's
Voter
great. Georgia. He's really good.
Yeah, very knowledgeable. So these are the OGs on Georgia election fraud.
Yeah.
So we're going to dig deep into that and then find out what they think about the raid the other day by the FBI.
Yeah. You were saying, why was Tulsi Gabbard there? I think she was there to either just make sure the operation went as planned and to see if anybody's like trying to screw it up. Because I think they're trying to out bad people.
Rhetorical question. Yeah. I know why she's there.
Oh, yeah.
Because she's the only one that actually cares about the mission.
That's true.
And like you said, she wants to make sure that the deep staters that are surrounding Trump, still entrenched in the FBI, don't F it up on purpose.
I opened a box of documents and started taking photos, or whatever they're going to do. Whatever they're going to do to taint the evidence.
Yes, exactly.
She was there to make sure there was no tainting of the evidence.
Then I'm also bringing on Brian Lupo, CanCon. He's going to come in, Marine Corps veteran.
Yep.
And the tail end of it will be Ivan Raiklin to wrap it all up. So it'll be a good 3 hours.
Ivan may be filing a lawsuit against one what's his name, Michael Fagonia?
Exactly, right.
Is that his name?
Yeah, Michael Fagonia. That's right. Yeah, because he lost his cool and accused Ivan of plotting to rape his children.
Yeah. Nuts. I think he just needs another neck tattoo. That's probably the problem. Some of that neck tattoo ink is poisoning his brain.
Nah.
Speaking of ink, did you take your methylene blue this morning?
I have not. Let's get some done.
Well, I don't even know if I have any. I took mine this morning at home because I wanted it to hit me before I got here. I take the pill every other day, one pill every other day, and that stuff has just worked wonders for brain. I haven't had brain fog in months. It's just been amazing.
It is good for that. I take two pills.
You take two?
Yeah.
You have a lot of brain fog then.
I got a big brain.
It's a lot of constitution in this brain.
That's right. So yeah, I'd love a shot. Put in my coffee.
We'll see if we can find the liquid, bring in the liquid and we will give him a shot on camera.
Let's do it.
And I'm sure there's some liquid somewhere. Look at him. They're slowly getting up. They're like, yes. Cause you know what? That's the only way we get funded here is when people like you out there go out and go, hey, I want to support the info war. I want to support what's going on. And we're on this camera. We're good. Oh yeah, look at that. Ultra methylene blue.
Just hit me up.
I'm just one shot.
Yeah.
One big dropper. Here we go. Don't want to get this on anything else. Boom. Into the coffee.
Sounds good.
You have blue coffee now. There it is. Ultra methylene blue at thealexjonesstore.com. It basically what it does is it helps your mitochondria process energy better.
Hey, Robert Kennedy Jr. likes it. I like it. So,
and I think it's helped his voice a little bit too. His voice has gotten better.
Great shape.
Yeah. I mean, he's definitely.
He is getting, I just saw him in DC. It was at the MAHA event for his birthday.
Okay.
I happened to pop in on that. It was fantastic. And yeah.
He sounds better.
He sounds better. He does. Yeah.
I interviewed him in like 2017, I think, at the United Press Club. And he was straining. I was asking about aluminum in the vaccines. I'm like, look, you've done a great job on mercury. Are you going to go after the aluminum? Now he's in there running HHS and he's going after aluminum.
Yeah.
He's going after everything. People are like, well, it's not quick enough. Look, this stuff was built you can't, you know, it's unlike the Democrats. They're not just, you know, putting dynamite underneath and blowing it down. They're trying to keep the institutions intact, but also tailor them to be for the American people and for health, not for, you know, giant corporations who are, you know, mega farmers.
He's doing what he can. I mean, my ticket for 2028 is Tulsi Gabbard and Robert Kennedy Jr. That's what I think.
So far, they've shown I think they're real leaders.
Right, because they're legit walkaway Democrats who came over for the right reasons.
Yeah.
So.
And you know what? That might be more of a uniting effort, you know, than being walkaway Democrats.
Absolutely.
Instead of just somebody who's, you know, I think Rubio has done a pretty good job as Secretary of State. And J.D. Vance does a good job of translating Trump's banter. But, you know, we're not going to need a translator after this. We need people to continue the mission.
I don't trust either one.
I don't.
I'm sorry. Just their past track record.
I agree.
I don't trust J.D. Vance because he comes from Peter Thiel. That was his mentor.
And then, and Rubio, I think Rubio was kind of like, he was a, you know, country club Republican.
And a neocon. Warhawk, all about the Patriot Act, all about all of that.
So. But I think he's done a pretty good job as Secretary of State.
Sure.
Talking tough to the Europeans.
In that lane, he's been doing a good job.
Exactly.
Not as president.
Exactly. keep him there. You know, keep him secretary. Hell, make him a 3-term Secretary of State.
Sure.
You know, there's no reason, and he's dismantled, some of the nonprofits, the NGOs that we've been giving money to. He's got total control over, what is it called? USAID. Or say, it's USAID, USAID.
But who's deep state fear? They don't fear Rubio. No. I don't believe the deep state fears J.D. Vance.
And they didn't fear Pam Bondi because they confirmed her.
No.
They didn't like Matt Gaetz.
No. Pam Bondi is Bill Barr in a dress and high heels. That's what she is.
With a blonde wig.
With a blonde wig.
Yeah.
Same mission, run the clock out, control Trump, make sure it doesn't do too much damage to the deep state so that when he's gone, they get back to business as usual.
Yeah. And that's what they want. And that's why these things are set up the way they are. 4 years, you could do, you know, and it's not even really 4 years. You get in, it takes like a few months to figure out what's going on, which happened in the first Trump administration, which we were like, you know, we're going to give them some time. We're going to give them some time. Nazi, Nazi, Nazi. And then boom, the pandemic hits. When things started to get really good, the pandemic hit in 2020 because things were moving.
They pulled all the stops out to stop him.
Yep.
Exactly.
And that was it. And there's been no accountability there. Rand Paul's still talking about, we're going after Fauci. I haven't seen it. Wait, how are you going after Fauci? What are you waiting for?
Right. I mean, the Congress.
The evidence to get colder?
They should refer charges for perjury against all of these people.
They all lied
to Congress. So square one, they haven't done that.
Hey, let's go for mass murder. I mean, you were telling people they had to take a drug, that the only drug they could take when they got put into the hospital was remdesivir, which had a 30% kill rate, and which you'd already used to kill people in Africa. You know, no, nothing. It's just like, hey, we're allowed to mass murder people because we're Democrats, you know?
Well, also look at Big Pharma. Big Pharma is in both parties.
Yeah.
That's a problem. You have the CEO of Pfizer standing next to President Trump in the White House and him praising him as doing a great job just during COVID.
Yeah.
That's how you know none of them are ever going to face charges under the current system for mass murder. They should, but they're not going to.
Yep.
Unless Trump makes a radical change in his trajectory. That's what I hope he does. But it's unlikely.
What do they say? Poop in one hand, hope in the other.
Yeah. Shit sandwich or poop soup. Take your pick. But
no, it's a poop sandwich or what? Something douche. It's a South Park reference.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking back to like 2018 or 2008. I mean, in the campaign for president back then. Yeah. It was like, hey, poop soup or soup sandwich.
Exactly. Yeah. That was John McCain or Barack Obama.
Right.
Which was a choice of nothing.
Right. Exactly.
Which is why Obama won.
So, I mean, I think that the deep state, they're part of their setup, I believe, is to lose the midterms. That's what I think.
Sure.
I think they don't care.
Because then it's more gridlock.
That's why
2 years of gridlock.
That's why Ivan Raiklin and I were, you know, out there in front of the White House a week ago calling on President Trump to invoke the Insurrection Act.
Yeah.
But then use that to expose the rot inside the GOP, do a declassification, expose the corrupt officials inside the Republican Party and the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
In advance of the primaries, give us a chance to purge them out and bring in good people for the primaries, actual America firsters.
Because we can get John Cornyn out.
Yeah, well, especially if you were to expose, he might be out anyway. There's a good chance that Paxton will beat him.
Yeah.
But if you expose all of his criminality, you were to go in there and declassify and expose what he's done, all the insider trading and backroom deals and bribery, then you could easily put him out. And same for all the rest of them.
Lindsey Graham.
Yeah, all of them. So that's the only way for Trump to really to guarantee a win is to help his own base purge out the rot inside the GOP.
Right.
Yeah.
Ugh. It's crazy. So we've got, I don't even know how many elections are up. Basically every representative is up, but there's a good number of senators, good number of governors.
Sure.
What do you think of Mike Lindell's chances in Minnesota?
Better than it was.
Yeah.
You know, only thanks to, Nick Shirley. You know, it took a private individual to go in there and expose all the rot.
Let's not forget Dave, two private individuals.
Dave
was the old guy who went with Nick Shirley.
Oh, yeah, no, that was fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. But,
yeah, that
the boomer zoomer connection.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Right. You know, that's what it takes.
Right.
But the energy of a zoomer, but the wisdom of a boomer.
But why can't the FBI do that?
I know, man. Why?
So, because they don't want to.
They see the sign Leering Center. They're like, nothing suspicious about that.
That's right. So they obviously, I mean, I think Cash Patel has sold out a long time ago,
yeah.
Either blackmailed or bribed, and it's become part of the problem, obviously. It's just obvious.
Yeah.
So it shouldn't take private individuals to expose the corruption. But great. Because they did that, now Tim Walz is on the defensive. He's on the way out. So I think it's a better chance for
him. He may get appointed senator, though.
Right.
Klobuchar says, if I win, I'm going to appoint him senator. Can you believe that?
Like, oh, no. I'm not surprised.
Yeah. And Prime Minister is like, well, that sounds like a good idea. Maybe he can help steal more money.
So he should be indicted.
Yeah.
They should be indicting Tim Walz.
Jacob
next,
Fry.
Right.
Yep.
And Fry for obstruction of federal law.
Or at least the people on that Signal chat.
Sure. Aiding and abetting illegal aliens is a crime.
Yep.
Harboring illegal aliens is a crime. It's a federal crime. And so is obstructing officers and conspiracy to obstruct officers, which is what they were doing in that Signal chat.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And if you get the low-level people that are in the Signal chat admitted, like his deputies and stuff, they will rat out. They're going to sing when they're looking at 20 years.
The exact
years.
Same thing they did to all of us.
Except exactly.
That'd be real crimes, not made-up crimes where guys are threatened with life in prison and coerced into false confessions and false testimony. This would be, you're going to go to prison, so roll over and tell us the truth. That's the difference.
I mean, what did they have? They had that camera crew that went in and got some video of a meeting underneath, which is all about, we're not going to go inside, we're not going to do it, we're here to support the president, we're here to call for an investigation. It wasn't about, we're going to go into the Capitol and take it over with no guns.
Yeah,
the Proud Boys. Yeah.
They had a leadership meeting. That's right.
Yeah.
But that didn't save them either.
No.
They had, Jeremy Bertino?
Well, they made that seem like that's what they were doing wrong. They had a meeting in a parking garage, you know.
Well, that was me and Taro just saying hi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And it's just like anything like anybody on the right did, it was like the ultimate crime. But, oh, we're stealing millions of dollars and, it's okay and nothing's going to happen to us. And no, someone's going to shoot vinegar at me. Well, you know, we didn't even talk about Ilhan Omar.
Yeah.
I looked at that. I'm like, this looks fake.
Yeah,
this looks fake AF, you know.
So what did he use? He used apple cider vinegar.
And
I mean, she might lose a little weight, maybe. But that's
might help her
it.
Skin.
Yeah.
But then the way she acts, she gets up and she's going to punch him. The lady in burgundy seems to do some sort of hand signal right before the guy in the camera on the side actually pans over before he even comes in frame. Like
yeah.
When we go to that other shot, he's over there looking at
it's
him.
It's really strange that she would do that. I mean, I don't think Ilhan Omar is that tough.
No.
But she's going to go, a charge at the assailant.
Look, watch her nod. She nods to the guy right after she says impeachment of Kristi Noem. She's going to look at him and do a little nod. Watch this. It comes up. She's finishing her thing. Now watch. Here it goes. Here it goes. You can do the little nod. Not yet. Here it comes. Here it comes. Boom.
Oh,
see
yeah.
that nod?
Yeah.
See that nod?
I did see that.
That's the time. Now you bring the syringe. I have to say impeachment because I want what she wanted was that soundbite to be in front of it every time. Kristi Noem should be impeached. Squirt. Now watch the camera guy. Watch him pan over. Oh, yeah. He knows what's coming. You know, he's tied in on Omar, but he knows somebody else is going to come into frame. He's ready.
Yeah, that's interesting.
You know, a lot of clues here. There's the lady with her, she nods at him. Boom, boom. Yeah. Oh, you know, it's like, it's all there, man. All the body language is there. All you have to do is look at it over and over again.
Ilhan's going to throw hands. Wow.
I know. Yeah.
No.
Well, she's a pirate.
I'm not buying
Pirates
it.
Pirates aren't afraid to throw hands.
I'm not
know?
Buying it. Yeah. That is fishy.
Totally fishy.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. All right, we got 10 minutes left. What else is on your mind?
Man, the midterms.
Yeah.
You know, and like I said, the primaries. We have got to root out the rot. I don't know how we
And
do
the only
this.
Way is to get them out in the primaries.
We have to. Because if we don't get them out, if we don't get the bad guys out in the primaries, it's the risk is that Republicans do lose the majority. As crappy as they've been, as completely, you know, AWOL as they have been.
Limp.
Limp, you know, all that. It is still better than having the Democrats back in the majority because when they come back in, they're going to come back and roaring in and they're going to impeach Trump and try to remove him from office, or at least put him on the defensive. But there's a potential they could remove him from office.
Well, we saw what happened with the Virginia governor just went in. Yeah. All these new taxes, like immediately. It's like they ran on affordability, the cost of living. We don't care if people call for murder. You know, that was one of their platforms too. Right. You know. We're cool with that.
It's a rent
we're
in the center.
We're not going to say anything, but when they get in, it's like tax, and it's all little people taxes.
Yep.
Dog walkers. What's a dog walker? Okay, that's a small business. There ain't no large. There's no BlackRock dog walking organizations. Food, not yet, but they're coming.
Food delivery. On your gym membership.
Yeah, anything that they can get, any little bit extra money, they can go into that state. A state that's already corrupt, has way too many laws. Yeah. I would love to live in Virginia. Beautiful state in the South.
Yeah.
And in the mountains off to the west, the Blue Ridge Mountains. But you look at how that state is run, and it is just, it's despicable. It's basically, you know, Washington coming in.
Yeah.
It's just the extension of Washington at this point. More rules, more regulations. I don't even know if that's still a law, but you used to not be able to have a radar detector in your car to tell, you know, if there was a guy up ahead with a speed trap. If they had detectors going after the detectors.
I would not be surprised if the Republicans and all the time they were in there with Youngkin did not roll back that crap.
Yeah.
It's probably still there.
It's
always a one-way ratchet.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to tighten. Now we're not going to tighten. We're going to take a break for 4 years, and now we're going to tighten again.
Or we'll tighten up on national security in the name of terrorism.
Yeah.
And then when the left comes in, they turn it on you.
Exactly. People are rightly justified in saying they don't like ICE, the way ICE is handling themselves, because that could be turned on us. And it could be.
Well, here's the problem. We see this in Minnesota. We see it in Illinois. It's a methodical, intentional, like Holmes was saying in his press conference. Where they are allowed to go into the jails, you don't have any issues because they're not out in the streets trying to find guys.
Right.
They're not trying to find a needle in a haystack.
Criminals that they've released out in the streets.
Right. So what they will do intentionally is they will not let you know they're in the jail, and then will release them. And, of course, you know, you got Keith Ellison saying, there's no reason why local jails may inform ICE if they want to. But you know they're not going to.
No.
They're going to play hide the ball.
We'll
work with you guys. But they want them out in the streets looking for people. They want to force that. They did that in Illinois, same reason. Then they can say, well, look at this. They're going house to house. Only because you will not let them know when you have an illegal alien in your jail.
Right.
You'll hide. You'll harbor. I think that's harboring.
Yeah.
I think it crosses the line into harboring. You've got him in your jail. ICE is looking for him. The ICE goes and asks you if you have any there. You say no. That's harboring, I think. It's not simply we're not going to help you. That's the line that Sheriff Mack had about, you know, with the gun, the gun bill, you know, with background checks. Like, hey, I can't be forced to help you. But if you come to a sheriff and say, do you have illegal aliens in your jail? And they say no, that's not just I'm not going to help you. That's obstruction.
That's active.
That's hiding. That's harboring them. So they should be charged for harboring, because that's their intentional plan. That's their perspective. They want ICE in the streets, going house to house, arresting ladies with, you know, tamale carts and things like that.
Yeah.
So that they can say, oh, look at this. And one problem is quotas. There has been a massively stupid idea to have quotas so the ICE agents will get bonuses if they bring in a certain number of people.
Right.
So they'll go after the tamale cart lady.
The easy prey.
And that gives them their bonus, but it also gives the bad guys the optics of, oh, you're going after this poor little old lady who's law-abiding. It's just stupid. So they need to tighten up. I'm glad Homan's on the ground. You need to tighten up, make sure they're only going after the actual criminals, making sure they're doing it in the right way.
And do you think this is what Trump is doing now? Is this a retreat, or you think this is still alteration?
I still think half measures won't work. I mean, what is Homan going to do different? He'll tighten up, but he still needs, like you said, if locals will not help him with cordon, and I don't believe they will.
And the mayor already said he's not
going
to help.
Yeah, they're not
going to. He came out again and said, no, I'm not
going to
help.
They're not going to. They'll pretend like they're going to, then they're not going to.
Yeah.
You know, so I think he needs to have the National Guard.
Okay, you got more clips of Blanche? Is it any good? Okay. Well, let's finish out the show with Todd Blanche telling us more BS about the Epstein.
But to close that out, he needs National Guard to cordon off.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta have it.
Bring in other law enforcement from somewhere.
Some stormtroopers.
You said this is the end of the Epstein, of your review of the Epstein files. So just to clarify, is the public going to learn the identities of the men who abused the girls? With the information that you're releasing, and if not, why not?
There were no other guys.
You just baked in an assumption into your question that I have never said, and I don't know to be true. Is the public going to learn about men that abuse these girls? Like, what does that mean? I mean, I just know what that means.
I don't even know what that means.
Well, I mean,
wow.
What does that mean?
The men who abused the young women through Epstein's,
We said in July, remains as true today as it was in July. If we had information, we meaning the Department of Justice, about men who abused women, we would prosecute them, right? We talked about the work that we're doing. That's why I said that. I said this earlier. There's this built-in assumption that somehow there's this hidden tranche of information of men that we know about.
Yeah, Epstein was giving money for no reason.
Or that we're choosing not to prosecute. That is not the case. I don't know whether there are men out there that abuse these women. If we learn about information and evidence that allows us to prosecute them, you better believe we will. But I don't think that the public or you all are going to uncover men within the Epstein files that abuse women, unfortunately.
What a loser.
They just cut President Trump's throat
exactly
for the midterms, and it's intentional.
Yeah.
The deep state does not want to be exposed, and so they don't care about losing the midterms. It's for all the marbles. They just want to be protected. And President Trump's got to wake up to that and do what I've been saying since 2020. Use his power of declassification to expose it all and burn it all to the ground.
Exactly.
I know he's being told, you can't do that. It'll crash the stock market.
Our CIA agents will be left out in the cold. Well, too freaking bad.
I think he's being told if you do that, it'll take down our stock market, take down our economy, destroy our trusted institutions, which is already gone anyway.
Yeah.
And it'll bring down all kinds of foreign governments. Fine, let them all come down. They need to come down. Otherwise, we're living in a world run by pedophiles.
Right.
That's what's really happening. And we know that. The base knows it. And that is the one issue that cuts across.
The left is now even talking about it.
Everybody
is. They don't like pedophiles either, apparently.
Because the average
I thought
Joe,
they were for it. But
only at the elite level. The elite level, both parties are for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. It's frustrating because this is the one issue that is definitely could have united the country behind Trump.
Yeah.
And instead, it's being used to burn him down in the midterms.
And he doesn't even realize it.
No, he doesn't.
He thinks they're doing a good job. Well, they released millions of documents.
I signed the bill and they're complying.
They released millions of documents. What more do you want? We know there's other men. We know there was a private plane. We knew people were flying on it.
Yeah.
Okay, where were they going? Oh, to Disneyland? No.
He had cameras in every room of his house.
Right.
Not to film himself.
Oh, we don't have any video of that.
Right, yeah.
It was
a blackmail operation. We all know it.
Well, this is classified. These were agents working with Epstein.
Oh, they're not even going to say that.
No. I mean, they won't admit that he was working for the CIA. But maybe it'll come out. I don't know. Maybe Trump will do it. But right now, it doesn't look good.
No. Looks terrible. So,
it's more of the same.
I was a political prisoner who suffered 3 years in prison because they were in power. I do not want them back in power.
Right.
Because they'll go after all of us.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
But the problem is I don't know how you avoid this disaster if Trump continues to do this.
We haven't had enough beatings, and the beatings will continue until morale approves.
You can't force people to vote for shitbags.
No.
I mean, we might go vote. I can't become a felon, but you might go vote for a crappy Republican because you just don't want because you don't want the Democrats.
The
majority.
Yeah.
But your average independent, your average libertarian, your crossover Democrat who voted for Trump in 2024 is now like, F this, I'm out. I don't care because neither one's going to protect our rights to take the bad guys down.
And that's what the system wants. The system wants you apathetic. They want you defeated. They want you demoralized so they can come in and do whatever they want.
And what does that better than that?
Yeah.
Todd Blanche getting up there and once again gaslighting.
I'm
going to
do a press conference.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about. If there really were men that he was helping to abuse girls, we would definitely, darn tootin', we'd go after him.
You just baked in an assumption that there were other people having sex with young ladies
on his island.
Oh.
And all those guest rooms with all the cameras.
Look at me. We would be investigating those people.
Yeah.
And he killed himself.
That's
You're
right.
You're like, okay.
Yeah.
It's all crap.
Very depressing.
Well, Harrison Smith is going to take the ball. I'm going to throw it to him into the other studio. Stuart, you're going to be on the War Room hosting with a lot of great guests. So it's a great day here at the InfoWar, but not a great day for Todd Blanche and the news he gave us. And we'll see where it leads us. There's a lot of new Epstein files for people to peruse through over the weekend and put out articles. But will it get us anywhere?
We sell the best supplements, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, and knives at TheAlexandStore.com. And they had some awesome daggers and awesome trench knives, and that's all great. But I said, I want a wide selection of high-quality folding knives, flip knives, you name it, so people have a one-stop shop.
They got in a few thousand knives a few months ago. They sold out very quickly. Four or five great designs. They got a bigger shipment in just the last few days. Our sponsor, just really top flight knives. These knives, this knife right here you see in the green, highest quality Damascus steel, all of it. These sell in stores for $75 all day. We're selling for $40, $47. Okay? So look at that flip. Flips right out. Got a nice little, you know, my signature on it, real small, nice little memento. You support the broadcast. That is a really nice knife. It clips on your belt buckles. We have it in the green. We have it in the murdered out black. We have it also in silver without it being blacked out. Those are great knives. Those are the new designs. Now, those 200 left of the Skull Crusher World War II trench knife with the Spartan tip of the spear. So they held those back. Those are available. A little bit left they held back in their overstock of the Fire with Its Beauty. But this is a really cool knife. Alex Jones Phantom Folding Knife. Limited stock of that came back in. Also, the Alex Jones Burnt Orange Folding Knife. And this is the knife that sold out, the quickest fitting knife. They got 500 of these. 1,000 now just came in. The first one sold out like in hours. Alex Jones Ring Blade. I guess those are popular. This is something I didn't really call for, but it's awesome. Got that ring on the back. Got the deal. It's really nice. Those are all back in stock right now at thealexjonesstore.com. But while you're at it, get methylene blue, Irish sea moss, and more. And check out the Patriot Apparel, thealexjonesstore.com.